KNIC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Evan Haining. Reaction to National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice's testimony yesterday before the 9/11 panel is getting mixed reviews. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani liked her presentation, but others are more critical. Former Clinton White House security spokesman P.J. Crowley.
I think there are two key contradictions in her testimony yesterday. The first involves the presidential intelligence briefing that undercuts her assertion that terrorist information was focused overseas. And secondly, Dr. Rice said that the FBI was tasked to follow these cells that were operating within the United States. The commission said clearly that there's no evidence that those taskings ever took place.
The U.S. military is reporting that six more troops have been killed in action in Iraq. Meantime, Iraqi insurgents say they have taken two Americans and four Italians hostage on the western outskirts of Baghdad. They join a wave of kidnappings in the past few days, and U.S. military officials say they'll seek to eliminate anyone taking hostages. I'm Evan Haining, NBC News Radio.
Beginning April 11th, the History Channel is proud to bring you the Emmy Award-winning epic, Band of Brothers. The true story of the men of Easy Company who defined courage for a generation of Americans. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's the best miniseries in the history of television. Band of Brothers, executive produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Give it a hero's welcome.
This weekend, it's all about you at the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale this Friday and Saturday only. Just in time for Easter, find exceptional savings store-wide. Plus, come in for your bonus scratch-off card and get extra savings of 10, 15, even 20% off sale and clearance prices when you use your JCPenney card. Don't miss the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale because you deserve it.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Clearance April 10th.
Good afternoon, rainy, 36 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Charges are on the way for the person responsible for the Picnic Rock fire. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Very, very wet, very, very slow drive around town. The worst of it seems to be southbound I-25 at the Erie exit. Five cars involved in a pileup blocking the left lane. And we have very heavy traffic southbound on I-225 from just north of the spillway on down to the I-25 cutoff. A lot of that was caused by some earlier accidents and stalls. Most of the rest of it is caused by a narrowing of the lanes as you make the transition to southbound I-25 because of the ongoing T-Rex construction project. Vista Ridge is a great new family community. It now offers everything from condos to single family to custom homes. Just 20 minutes north of downtown. They're also on the web at VistaRidge.net. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, the man who started the Picnic Rock fire near Fort Collins faces a charge of fourth-degree arson. Larimer County Sheriff's Corporal Craig Kern says the charge against Tony Sanchez reads like this.
You knowingly started or maintained a fire on your own property and placed a building in danger of damage.
That damage included the burning of more than 9,000 acres after a backyard trash fire of Tuesday of last week blew out of control. This report brought to you by the Home Depot. If you thought Metro Denver had seen the last of the snow this season, you're mistaken. A major storm on the way as we hear from forecaster Frank Cooper of the National Weather Service.
Probably be starting this evening. It'll carry on till about 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the Denver metro area, you're probably looking at 4 to 8 inches with the heaviest accumulations near the foothills and along the Palmer Divide. And then as you go into the foothills, you're looking for 12 to 18 inches up there.
Cooper says we could get more snow on Sunday in the metro area, but not as much. He adds that he doesn't expect much in the way of warmer weather until Tuesday or Wednesday, which means if you plan to attend the Rockies home opener on Monday, you need to bundle up. The nasty weather in the high country is limiting the scaling work that crews can do today at the scene of yesterday's rock slide. The affected areas in the westbound lanes of I-70 between Georgetown and Silver Plume. CDOT spokeswoman Stacy Stegman says whether the crews are scaling or not, you'll be able to get through, but it will be a slow go.
Our crews are pretty comfortable that the slope looks stable. Still, with the moisture we're getting, there's always the potential, as long as we have a highway through the Rocky Mountains, that there will be a risk and that rocks will come down. So people should really, really be aware of that, because typically the rocks are on the road and motorists run into them.
In yesterday's rock slide, between 20 and 30 boulders came down. They ranged in size from 2 to 9 feet in diameter. In sports, tonight's game 2 of the best of 7 series between the Colorado Avalanche and Dallas Stars. Avs beat the Stars 3-1 in the first game on Wednesday night. Games 3 and 4 are in Dallas. That'll be next Monday and Wednesday. Denver Nuggets still in the playoff hunt and an hour and a half game ahead of Utah for the 8th playoff spot in the West. Tonight, the Nuggets are in Houston to play the Rockets. Colorado Rockies head to L.A. to play the Dodgers tonight after dropping 2 of 3 in Arizona. Rocks play their home opener on Monday against the Diamondbacks. University of Denver Pioneers take on the Maine Black Bears tomorrow in the NCAA Frozen Four Championship at the Fleet Center in Boston. It's the first time the DU's been in the title game since 1973. Prevent crabgrass and feed your lawn this spring with Scott's Turf Builder with Halt's Crabgrass Preventer. It deep feeds your lawn and prevents crabgrass seeds from germinating. Available at Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's 3 beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For 3 generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market today. Family owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state at Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton. There's a Lair's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Prepare for more wintry weather. We have a winter storm watch issued by the National Weather Service. That's for the urban corridor through Saturday morning. 8 to 16 inches possible in the high country. We're looking at a total of 4 to 8 in the urban corridor. Today, though, patchy morning fog, then mostly cloudy, windy, rain showers likely, isolated storms, 46. Tonight, mostly cloudy, snow accumulating 3 to 6 inches with highest amounts near the foothills and in the southern suburbs. Our low, 26. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rainy and 38 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month. The shows always have a theme. This month's theme is baseball. A subject that I wish I knew more about, and God bless John Enslin, who is producing today's show, as he does all of our Press Club shows. He thinks that I'll be able to pull this off, and we only hope that he's right. But baseball's kind of, it is actually a game that I understand a little bit, at least a little bit better than I do football. Some announcements that I want to make before we get underway. We have a full roster of guests. First of all, our exuberantly painted KNRC Mobile. What do we have to have a name for this thing. You can't believe what this thing looks like. It's an old military ambulance from the 60s, belching huge amounts of nouns and verbs, I think, and possibly even smoke, too. It's parked right out in front of the Denver Press Club. Where is the Denver Press Club? It is on Glen Arm between 13th and 14th, right across from the DAC. Come by. It's raining, so we're going to give you drive-up service. You honk. And Justin, Rainey, Jared will run out and give you a free T-shirt or a Drive Talking mug or some kind of a promo item that you will probably throw into the garbage, but we hope we'll remind you to listen to AM 1150 KNRC. Also, I want to let you know that I am going to be on Air America this Sunday night on the Laura Flanders Show. I have not yet had a chance to hear Air America. It streams live It is not heard on any radio station in the Denver area so far. You can listen www.airamericaradio.com, and that's between 7 and 8 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So 7 and 8 o'clock, between at 7 o'clock, I'll be on for an hour this Sunday on the Laura Flanders Show. Actually, she was just my guest, so I'm flattered that they called to invite me. And it's going to be a roundtable with a bunch of other talk hosts. Also, make this note on your calendar. Monday, April the 19th, 7 p.m., Tattered Cover, Lodo. I will be leading a book discussion. The book is called Peace Like a River. It's part of the One Book, One Denver book project. And I'm going to be starring in, if that's probably too grand a word, the Vagina Monologues. Whereas one of my colleagues calls it the Virginia Monologues because he can't bring himself to say it. And that, I think, is going to be on May the 1st. And I'll bring you more details as I have them, and God help us. I hope it isn't the Margot Kidder role where she had to fake an orgasm, because I'm not going to, you know, they're going to have to give, you know, I'll have to give them their money back or something. I don't think they've given me any money. I'm going to have to find out about this. Anyway, let's get started. And joining us at the Denver Press Club, and by the way, you're invited to come down as well. The public is invited on the days when we do the shows live from here. Normally you have to be a member to have lunch, but the menu is wonderful. It's reasonably priced. Chef Daniel does a great job. Joining us is Herb Sanders, who is the coach of Denver's Montebello High School's baseball team. You are apparently widely credited with reviving the baseball program at Montebello. You are a former youth corrections officer. I'm delighted that you could join us today. Thank you so much for doing it, Herb.
It's good to be here, and I just want to tell John thanks for asking me to come down, and a quick little shout-out to my puppy, Mr. Cool Papa Bell, who's a 12-week-old American Bulldog, so I just had to say that.
One of our more articulate callers, too, probably. you were a youth corrections officer. How do you make that? And you're going to be tossing out the first pitch. When are you going to be doing that?
For the Rockies? It's going to be April 15th when they honor Jackie Robinson Day. Jim Kellogg with the Rockies asked me to throw out the first pitch on the 15th, and I get to bring my coaches and my varsity baseball team down on the field, and I'm really excited about doing that.
Tell everybody, for younger listeners, does everybody appreciate the importance of Jackie Robinson and why we're honoring him?
They should, and Jackie Robinson, who is one of my main role models, was the first African-American ball player to play professional baseball. Actually, he was the second, because Fleetwood Walker was the first, but we honor Jackie Robinson as being the first.
So this happens on April the 15th. If anybody can resuscitate themselves from having to pay their income taxes, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Wrestle down the government.
Yes.
How do you make the elision? How do you make the transition from being a youth corrections officer and you're also involved in a nonprofit ministry called Full Count Baseball. It's a league for inner city kids. How do you make the transition from being a youth corrections officer to reviving the baseball program at Montebello High? Or maybe it's not much of a transition.
Baseball has always been a part of my life, and my dad and my uncles played in the old Negro leagues, and my uncle Charlie and all of them played, and I grew up watching baseball. And when I got back from Vietnam, I went to work up at Lookout Mountain School for Boys, and I was upset and angry about Vietnam and what was going on, and I fit right in there, and all the kids were upset and angry, so it was home, and I coached American Legion ball every summer while I worked up at Lookout Mountain, and it was just a natural transition for me, you know.
Why is At a time when nobody has any kind of an attention span to speak of, and baseball is kind of a slower sport, a more old-fashioned kind of sport, it still remains popular. People still love it very much. There are people who think it's the quintessential game. Why do you love baseball?
Baseball is strictly a game in my heart of a of an old man and a young boy, a father and a son, a granddad and a grandson, and that's the passion. My dad would play catch with me every day after work, and it was just that male bonding between a man and a boy, and just learning how to catch and throw and hit. And every time I'm watching baseball or coaching or picking up the baseball, I think of that relationship that me and my dad had, and that's my passion.
How did you take over the program at Montbello? You revived a program that was, what, moribund or non-existent at that point?
I was coaching over at Thomas Jefferson High School, and I had a chance to go to Montbello as a head coach. And Montbello probably had the worst baseball program in the Denver Prep League at that point in time. And I wanted to go there and to see if I could change it around. I also knew if I went to a losing program, they would keep me around for at least 5 years.
So. Why? Because they had nowhere to go but up?
Right. So,
did you have to talk them into reviving the program?
No.
Or were they already going to do it and they were looking for somebody to head it up?
They wanted somebody to jump in there, and I was that person. And we didn't have a lot of stuff. I didn't have equipment. I didn't have uniforms to start off with. And we just stayed with it and revived it. And
how well has it done?
Well, 99 and 2000, my kids won the Prep League championship in the district. And
whoa.
We've been putting kids into college ever since. And probably the biggest honor for me was in 1999, the Rocky Mountain News voted me Coach of the Year. And normally that award is safe for coaches who win the state championship. And I didn't win a state championship, but we had come such a long ways with the program. And we got the community behind us, so I feel very blessed being there.
What does baseball teach kids, and particularly kids who are at-risk kids? Because you've worked with kids in correctional facilities.
Okay. Baseball is a no-excitement, everyday lifestyle. It's strictly repetition. I believe as men and women, and men especially, that we get up every morning and we go to work and we maintain that. And that's what baseball does. It's just hard work. It's hanging in there. It's being loyal. It's being integrity. And there's no quick fixes in life. And baseball is all of that for me. And I believe if my kids can come out and stick with us and put in their time and go through what we want them to go through, it's going to just help them become better men.
Do any of the girls play baseball, or do you only coach the men's team? What's the story here?
No, there's no girls in Montbello playing baseball, but I also coached the girls' softball team at the high school, so I have my...
If a girl wanted to play baseball, and what's the difference between baseball and softball? Just the ball?
Yes.
The rules are a little bit different?
Yeah, and the base paths are a little bit longer, that's all.
If a girl said, "Coach, I don't want to play softball, I want to play baseball," what are you going to say?
I would tell her if she could turn the double play without it being an act of God, she could play for me.
What's the double? You're going to have to explain some of this to me.
Well, a double play is a basic play. It's when you force the runner out at second base and you throw the ball to first base.
Oh, okay.
And if they can turn the double, if any girl at Montbello High School can turn a double play for me, they can play for me. I'll put it like
you
that.
You would let them? Is it completely impossible for a girl to do this?
No, they could turn the double play.
They
sure.
could turn?
Yeah, they could turn.
Has anybody ever come up, a girl, and really try to lobby you hard about it?
Nikki Weddle, who was an All-American high school basketball player at Montbello, helped us win our first state championship in girls basketball, was going to play shortstop for me back in 1994, and her dad wouldn't let her.
Why?
Because she was going to focus on basketball, because that was her ticket to college.
So, in other words, if she were going to play baseball, it would too much dilute her efforts and her attentions.
Right, but she could flat out play, and she was an outstanding athlete.
So baseball then teaches kids of any social stratum. It teaches them patience.
Right.
Teaches them that there are no quick fixes in life, that
right.
you have to get up and do
right.
the job every day, do it
right.
the best you can do it every
right.
day.
Right.
Learn how to fix what is broken.
Right.
And you learn that by doing it every day and not
every
running
day.
Away from it.
Right.
By being patient. So
by
you
being
learn,
patient.
You learn patience.
And you learn to get excited, but you learn to temper the excitement. And you don't have to be 6 feet and weigh 230. You can be 5 foot four at 120 pounds. I got a little freshman shortstop playing for me who is probably 5'5 and weigh 95 pounds, but he's a very gifted athlete. So,
what's as a coach, what have you found is one of the main ingredients for success? Who is a winner? Is it the attitude? Is it somebody who has that combination of attitude and ability? What is it that makes somebody a winner as an athlete?
I think at the high school level, it's attitude, ability, and just playing together. High school kids win if they stay together, play together, and buy into what the coaching staff wants them to do and just buy into each other. Sometimes we tend to think that we're so different from each other, but we really have more in common than what the difference is. And if you can bring that together and have the kids just stay with you and believe in themselves and the coaching staff, then you're going to win.
So the whole is greater than the sum of the parts?
Yes.
There's something that magical
yes.
that takes over in
yes.
the group effort,
yes.
and it lifts each individual player above maybe the station or the ability level that they think they might have had?
Yes, and I think every high school kid is looking to belong to something, and baseball at Montbell High School is a big deal, and we make it a big deal. And
how do you make it a big deal?
By relationships and just loving them and having special T-shirts and things that look different from the other student body, like the caps and the gear that we make up for baseball. I don't sell it to the other teachers or student body. It's just strictly for the kids who come out and play baseball.
What if somebody is not a great or talented athlete but really wants to play? What do you do? Is that the kid who's the ball boy? Or the...
No. I don't cut anybody.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome
except
to play.
Except if you're a girl.
The girl's got to be able to turn the double play. No, I'm just teasing. We don't make any cuts, and we keep all the kids who want to play. If they want to learn and have a passion, then we keep them up until their senior year. When they're a senior, if they want to make the varsity, then they have to have some skills. Hopefully, they develop those skills in the 3 or 4 years that we've kept them. But I keep always one kid every year who may not be the best kid, but he has something to belong to. He's put in his time with us, and he's an asset to the team. And my kids don't ride the bench. I play them, and they contribute.
It's wonderful to have you on today, Herb.
Okay.
I'm delighted that you could join us. If I were to ask you a question, what is it that you've learned in working with kids that really transforms a kid? Is it the love and the attention, the fact that you respect the kids, all of them no matter their skill level? What is it? Because you have a lot of parents today agitating and anxious over their children, and nobody can seem to find a comfortable place with each other, and they're concerned about their kids. But you have a great ease about you, and it looks to me like you have a great ease with kids, too.
I think my thing with kids has to do with the fact that you just love them unconditionally. You may not like the behavior, but you just love them unconditionally, and you take them on. And you deal with them, and if you make a commitment, then you hang in there with them, and you work through it, and you confront them about their behavior, but at the same time, you just have to love them. I believe in long-term relationships. The kids who have played for me, I stay in contact with them. And now they're
adults.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of kids right now who are coaching with me who played for me at the high school, and it's just about being unconditional in the love.
That's a great testimony. We're
going
to be looking for you, throwing out that first pitch in
Look
honor
for
of Aunt
me on the
Jackie
15th
Robinson.
Of
15th of April at
yeah.
Coors Field.
1:05 game time.
1:05, be there.
Okay.
Thank you, Herb Sanders, and thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
Us today. Herb Sanders, the coach of the baseball team at Denver's Montbello High School. I'm Ina Goldstein. The show is Baseball, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local. All day Saturday and Sunday, listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland, beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
It's not a boxer or a linebacker.
Come on, push it, push it.
It's someone more potentially devastating.
Remember what they did to you last time.
It's the spring storm, and he's staying in shape for the season.
That station announced your arrival almost 36 hours before you even got there.
Defend against him with our weather coverage when bad weather approaches.
You're going to let them get away with that this time.
Denver listens. Denver listens.
Good job, dude. All right, let's work on our hail the size of golf balls drill. Come on.
Denver tunes to AM 1150. KNIC.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. You drive across the country on a road trip with friends. You want to fly back home, but it costs almost $1,000 because it's a one-way ticket. What to do? Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia recently disclosed that he did what most of us would probably do. He bought a cheaper round-trip ticket with no intention to use the return leg. However, airlines call it a breach of contract, and it's becoming a legal battleground. There's currently a federal class action lawsuit against several airlines related to ticketing rules. If a Supreme Court justice can skirt airfare restrictions, why can't you? Well, travel experts actually say you can. It's not illegal. People engaging in these practices are breaking airline rules, but not the law. Unless, of course, they lie about their intentions. Airlines demand higher fees to enforce these rules, but experts say if they catch you after the fact, they're stuck. Ultimately, it's a lose-lose scenario for major carriers because if push comes to shove, consumers will turn to the discount airlines. Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio.
Does it seem like the senior partner at your accounting firm is, well, not so easy to reach?
Hello, I'm out all week again. If you leave here,
you may get the impression your business isn't, shall we say, top of mind. Why not try Grant Thornton, where you'll get easy access to our partners and resources in 48 U.S. offices, providing accounting services with integrity since 1924. Get to know us at GrantThornton.com. We've got a passion for the business of accounting.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Thirst for knowledge is quenched here. The most entertaining talk shows in Denver.
Hear both sides.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:27 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We're coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. The theme of this month's show, we do them once a month, is baseball, or bezball, as Fidel Castro might say. Also, I want to let you know that our extravagantly painted KNRC mobile is parked outside the press club. If you just come by and honk since it's raining, you will get curbside service. Justin Rainey or Jared or all three of them will run out and give you a free T-shirt or a Drive Talking mug, or come on into the Denver Press Club. Well, the days that we do the show, you don't have to be a member to come on in, have a drink, or have lunch. The menu is great. In fact, I'm having a salmon sandwich encrusted in Parmesan cheese with some good old homemade fries. And joining us right now, also remind you that I'm going to be on Air America Radio Sunday night from 7 to 8, a guest of Laura Flanders, and you can access that I think it's airamericaradio.com. They stream live. With me now is Joe Rasenfuss, who is the entertainment editor of the Rocky Mountain News. Joe, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
I want to know about being the entertainment editor, but the reason you are here is because you are coaching your son's Little League team. What does this consist of, and how many sons do you have?
Three kids in all, two sons, and... last year consisted, I think I added it up, because I also went to my daughter's softball games in the course of about 60 days. I think I went to about 48 games. And then I think there was about another dozen or so practices. It was generally back to back on various weekend days. I had a pretty good suntan, and I don't tan very well. So.
And you felt like you were on your back probably by the end of it. Why
totally.
Why are all the girls playing on softball team?
Oh, they're not all. I mean,
and the boys are on the baseball team.
I've actually got on my 7-year-old's team and my 10-year-old's team. They're girls playing on those levels. It's just, I don't know. You know, if they want to play hardball, they can play hardball. The league I'm in doesn't keep them out.
What about the now perhaps the cliche of the angry parent who, when their 7-year-old is doing so, or the coach has called it wrong, they go ballistic. Have you seen this up close and personal?
I would point out that I have a son who also plays hockey, and I actually see it more there than I do in baseball. And I would bet that most coaches in this city have got teams in most part that are kids they know. I know I've coached this 10-year-old team for 4 years, and we over the years have kind of gathered kids and gathered them by talent and their parents. So we try to avoid that.
Tell us some grisly stories. What do you see with parents?
Actually, the actual worst I ever saw was when I was playing as a kid, and I saw a parent come off the stands and go after an ump out there who he thought had made the wrong call. And actually, those of us playing knew it was the right call, but none of us were going to stop it because it was pretty cool to watch. It's actually now pretty well regulated. In the couple of years that I've coached, I really haven't seen that much of it. You see a lot of people yelling and angry, but they will make their one comment and then they back off. The referees are pretty quick about it. Everybody, you know, nowadays has to sign, whether you're in soccer or lacrosse or baseball, you got to sign that parental conduct thing.
No, what is it?
Oh, yeah, they go through the whole thing, and it's, I will not, you know, do this, I will not attack, you know, I will
you
not.
Parents have to sign the form that says I'm not going to attack?
Absolutely, it's a positive.
This is the most depressing.
Depressing. Welcome to our litigious society.
Really? And, well, welcome to the home of boomer parents or yuppie land.
Yeah. You know, the longer you coach a group and you know the parents, the less they will say. And, in fact, the younger kids last year in their first practice, these are all 6-year-olds, and, you know, I have a loud voice. And so I had their attention for that first practice. And a number of them said, we are so glad that you were stern with them to the point of they listened. They did what they were supposed to do. And, you know, there's that fine line you walk as a coach. You have to get their attention. You can't go beyond, you know, a certain level.
What is it like to coach a gaggle of 6-year-olds? Is this like being a fish wrangler?
You're hurting cats. You know, and in fact, they have the benefit of my having coached a previous group of 6th graders or 6-year-olds, which I thought I should teach things to. And you realize if you just keep them interested and have them run around and smile at the end of the hour, you're doing fine. You know, then they're at the great age where nobody keeps score. Nobody really cares. You play for an hour, you get a popsicle, you go home. That's the best baseball. Absolutely the best baseball you can coach, you know?
You have two sons who are what, 7 and 10?
7 and 10.
What are the lessons? What are the joys of coaching these kids, and what are the tribulations? What have you learned?
The hardest thing is that baseball is essentially scheduled failure. You're in a lineup, you know, and you got a bat in that order, and as you well probably know from watching any baseball at all, most of the time you're going to make an out. So at the younger levels, they have to learn that if they make an out, and we do teach them this, other teams will let the kids on no matter what they've done, and at the younger age, as the opposing coach, you let them keep their kids on. But if they make an out, after a while, we tell them halfway through the season, you're out, you're off the bases. So one of the hardest things is watching these kids fail. Because in baseball, unlike soccer, unlike hockey, you're singled out. If the ball hits you and you missed it, nobody else missed it.
Oh,
you missed
it. Oh, my God. You have to tell a 6-year-old that he's out?
If you're batting and you swing and miss, you missed. Nobody else did it. In soccer, you can already say, well, you know, it's a group thing. And hockey, unless you're the goalie, it's a group thing.
What do you say to a 6-year-old when he's failed to make the grade?
Well,
how do you break it to this kid?
You point out that little Jimmy and little Johnny also failed. You know, there's a large coterie of us who have failed in baseball. Even the good players, as they point out, fail. You know, if you bat 300, you're failing 7 out of 10 times. times as a major leaguer. So you just have to point out that, you know, misery loves company, and you're part of the company.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is, I'm saying your name right. Is it Joe Rasenfoss?
Very good.
Is that good?
Very good.
He is the entertainment editor for the Rocky Mountain News. And since you're so entertaining in this discussion of Little League Baseball, what does it take to do your job at the Rocky Mountain News as the entertainment editor? What you have to screen, I mean,
here's what it does.
You have to be very discriminating, because I imagine everybody's hitting you and wanting ink.
Here's what it first doesn't involve. I do not go to all the movies, all the concerts, all the visual arts, all the theater. I will go to some of all of that, but it's my job to direct Bob, who goes to films, you know, and Mary, who does visual arts, and Lisa Bornstein, who does theater, and the books people. So I'm overseeing what they're doing and trying to mix it up and make sure it's representative, equal over the course of the week. And yeah, you're right, a lot of people hit me up for stuff, but that's good. I always tell people it's fine to call.
Do people try to ever bribe you?
Well, not outright. You know, I've not received enough checks to really say there's a trend in that. But they're always, you know, people always want, oh, come out. You know, restaurants will do this all the time. And for them, it's a cost of business. They figure, oh, you know, a $60 dinner, you know, oh, come out. You know,
yeah,
you,
but you
can't do
that.
No.
So you're not, they want you to come in and like their place, or at least chalk it up if they've given you a free meal.
Absolutely.
Feel like
you know, and there's no law against calling. But as I always say, I can't promise anything. You know, generally I go down, I'll send them to the writers, because it's their job within their beats to grade what's going on. And I help them on that. You know, they say, well, I got these two things, what's better? We try to make a call.
So going back to Little League Baseball.
Yes.
What is some of the most surprising things that you have found coaching? I mean, first of all, you have to be, Herb Sanders, who was our first guest, talked about baseball as a game of patience. It teaches you patience.
Totally.
But if you are a Little League coach, it teaches you patience too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and frustration and all the rest. You know, you have to, and that's why it's better for me to be coaching the younger kids, because I've been through it once.
Why is it better to coach the younger ones than the older ones?
Well, it's just you having been through it with, you know, it's like your first child, your second child, your third child. You're going to do better raising, you know, subsequent kids, because you realize there's less you should worry about. You should let them fail more.
Oh my goodness! Now I know. I know I'm the first child. They made all their mistakes on me.
See, and my mother always says I'm the fourth of five, and myself and the youngest were the best ones, because she just let us run with the wolves. And so you got to let these kids kind of run with the wolves. That's the thing you learn. But baseball,
what do you mean run with the wolves?
Well, just let them go out there and get eaten up. Don't worry about it. You know, you're probably not going to win. Don't worry about it. You know, that's what you got to tell them when they come in. Hey, it's okay. You know, we'll get them next time. And we've moved up. Our team has moved up the little kids into a league where it's a 2-year league. They will be the youngest, you know, year in that league. So they don't figure to be.
But at what point do you tell them? At what point do you tell them that they haven't made the cut? First, you're telling them you can run with the wolves and it doesn't matter.
Well, they all make the team. That's the way these things work.
They all make the team, but at some point, if they're hitting all these outs,
I think kids can figure it out. If you've ever been to a soccer game where nobody's keeping score, but the kids know what the score is, they know what's going. See, that's where you have to give them credit. That's what I was talking about before. You have to give the kids credit for knowing what's going on. The hardest thing, actually, as a coach, is getting them to pay attention. It is a game of patience. It's also a game of paying attention. You know, and if you're the outfielders, you know, many eons could pass before the ball comes your way. But when it comes, so you see most of the coaches going, Jimmy, there's a game going on here. Pay attention, please. Bobby, there's a game. You know, that's 90% of what I do is that.
This is not unlike life, where you can be standing around waiting for the universe to come knocking on your door, and if you're not alert when that call comes, if it does.
Well, you could make the case that baseball, with all the failure it heaps on you, is exactly like life.
I like baseball because I understand it, and I like its slower pace.
Right.
But is there any hope for baseball now when it has to compete against so many other forms of entertainment?
It's never going to be the national pastime that it was in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, because there's so many other sports and there's so much other TV and there's so many other things besides sports that take our attention. But for anybody who pays attention to the game or grew up with it, I mean, when I grew up in Chicago, you played the Holy Trinity. That would be baseball, basketball, and football, and anything else was, you know, evil. There are so many other things now. There's a huge lacrosse movement here in Denver. There's a huge soccer program here in Denver. You know, kids play ice hockey. There's so many other things that take your attention.
Well, and all the video games that the kids are exposed to.
You know, yeah.
Computers.
Yeah,
I mean, all the kinds of things that...
And some of that stuff is good. You shouldn't necessarily say that video games or this or that are horrible, but...
Do any kids fence? I used to be on the fencing team.
My brother actually was a fencer as well. Epee, foil, or saber? What was your weapon of choice?
Epee.
Oh, so you got to hit people just randomly and score points. That may explain something.
I'm sorry, not epee, foil.
Foil. Oh, okay, so you had to be in the target. Were you in the days of judged, or was it electronic?
Not electronic.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, you had to go right for the...
You had to trust the Bulgarian judge to reward the touch.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Joe Rasenfuss, who is the editor, the entertainment editor. I want to call you Rasenfuss, but that's not right.
I think when they came over on the boat, it was Foos and it was changed to Foss.
German.
Yes.
He is the entertainment editor for the Rocky Mountain News, so all the book reviews, the restaurant reviews, the theater reviews, all of those have his fine hand attached.
Let's hope it's fine.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Annie.
At the Denver Press Club. The focus today is baseball. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Rainy, 36 degrees. Arson charges for the man who started the picnic rock fire. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
It is wet and sloppy around town at this lunch hour. That means speeds are down and the accident rate is down, too. Allow a little extra time to get to your destination. Allow a little extra space between you and the car in front. Everybody should be okay. Southbound I-25 at the Erie Street exit, or City of Erie exit, that is. Left lane accident, 5 cars. Southbound I-25 approaching University, getting back to normal after an earlier stall. Denver police and other emergency equipment cleaning up an injury accident, Lincoln and Alameda. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home phone and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance make Quest the choice for Colorado. Call 1-888-273-9221 or visit Quest.com. Restrictions apply. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Tony Sanchez, who's responsible for starting the picnic rock fire, faces a charge of fourth-degree arson. The fire, which started when a backyard trash fire got out of control, burned about 9,000 acres and destroyed a home and a garage. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Winter storm warnings in effect for the high country, and we'll start seeing some snow in the metro area tonight into tomorrow morning. Metro Denver will see 4 to 8 inches with the heaviest accumulations near the foothills. An employee of the National Sports Center for the Disabled in Winter Park has died in Iraq. Mike Bloss was working as private security for a company with employees in the war-torn country. Bloss was one of 5 people killed and mutilated in Fallujah last week. Did you know that Albertsons Pharmacy now gladly accepts workers' compensation prescriptions? It's just one more way the folks at Albertsons work with your needs in mind. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:41.
With the resources of NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey Mornings and Tim McLaughlin Afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute, all from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rates. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility and other restrictions apply.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. More wintry weather headed our way. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning for the high country through Saturday afternoon. 8 to 16 inches possible there. We have some patchy morning fog and mostly cloudy, windy, rain showers likely, isolated storms, high of 46. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Snow accumulating 3 to 6 inches, our low 26. 4 to 8 inches, highest amounts near the foothills and in the southern suburbs, our high 36 for tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rainy and 36 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 1243. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you looking for an opportunity to meet 20 or 30 other singles this month guaranteed without doing the bar scene or getting into pressured dating situations? I can tell you the Cottonwood Connection is helping singles from Denver to Boulder do just that, and they make it easy to do. Picture yourself with that new special someone heading to the mountains or a beach at Cabo sharing your personal hopes and dreams. Oh, those romantic dinners where you meet in the middle of that strand of pasta. Does it get any better than that? Check out Cottonwood Connection and call them at 303-424-2300 or check out their website at cottonwoodconnection.com. Most online dating services provide a searchable database, and that's about it. At Cottonwood Connection, they provide you with personal coaching, dating advice, professional videos, background checks, and lots of fun and exciting activities geared to help you meet other singles. They're a singles company that is more personal than internet dating and less expensive than dating services. Act now to take advantage of this year's incredible annual spring membership drive special. You can sign up now and receive 50% off your membership. That's right, half off. That's CottonwoodConnection.com or 303-424-2300.
I'm Tony DeZuri with your Masters Golf Tournament update. There is a tie at the top of the leaderboard. Chris DeMarco is minus 3 through 10 holes. He is at 6 under par. So is Justin Rose. He is 1 under through 10 as well. 1994 and 1999 champ Jose Maria Olazabal is making a move. He's 3 under through 14. He's minus 4 for the tournament, 2 shots back. Tiger Woods is plus 3. Remember, the cut is usually 10 shots within the leader, and right now, Tiger Woods is 9 shots back. Once again, Chris DeMarco and Justin Rose are your leaders at the Masters at 6 under par. I'm Tony DeZuri with your Masters Golf Tournament update on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:45 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We are coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We invite you to come on in. Justin and his crew and the exuberantly painted KNRC mobile are parked right out in front, so you really can't miss it. And because the weather is not so wonderful, the skies are weeping a little bit today. If you honk outside, Justin is going to give you curb service, and he will run out and give you a free KNRC T-shirt or a Drive Talking mug or a wonderful smile, and you'll be glad that you did it. Or else come on into the Press Club. The days that we do the shows here live, you're invited to join us. And a lot of people, we have moved a lot of T-shirts today, so we've done pretty well in that department. I want to remind you that I'm going to be on AirAmericaRadio.com over the weekend, Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Mountain Time on the Laura Flanders Show. With me, in the spirit of baseball, is Lou Cady, a colorful public relations guy, is the way John Enslin describes you. And he wrote a book, and here it is, and it's still in press, in print. You can buy it at both Tattered Covers. It's called They've Got Rockies in Their Heads, with forewords by all kinds of prominent Denverites, including some members of the Walmart across the way. Lou Cady, talk about writing this book. It has been described as a funny, obsessive account of a memorable first season.
Yeah, it's the story of the first season of the Rockies, and it takes it game by game, gives the whole story of every game, from who sang the national anthem to who threw out the first ball to what the headlines in the next day in both Denver papers were. And interesting things that happened in the fans. It doesn't tell much about what happened on the field. This is the fans and in the stands look at that first season, which was extremely exciting. And the first home game ever was 11 years ago today, when Eric Young hit his home run in front of 80,227 people.
How has the team done since its first days in Denver?
It is.
He's searching for just the right words. How would you characterize this, Luke Cady?
It's been disappointing, but
why?
Because other teams who have been in the league shorter times and equal times have done better. They've been to the World Series, and we haven't. But
to what do you attribute this? Why have other teams that have had a shorter longevity done better than the Rockies? Is it the coaching? Is it the altitude? Is it the, you know, support of the city? I mean, what would you say? Is it they have not picked the right players?
I don't say. This is not my business. My business is to be a fan, not to run the ball club. If they win, that's great. But if they don't, we've had three games so far this season. One was good, one was bad, and one was disappointing. But surely,
as a fan, don't you have some opinions about what they could be doing that would make the team work better, more successful?
Well, the Rockies had a get together for all the season ticket holders before the season started. And it was very nice, and some of the stars were there, and the manager, Clint Hurdle, said, "We've got a little slice of heaven right here. We've just got to play better baseball." And that's it. When they play better baseball, they'll win more games. But it's so much fun going out to the ballpark. It doesn't...
What are the attendance figures like?
Well, they start out incredibly huge. And then they've been dwindling ever since, and part of that has to do with the performance of the club. Everybody knows the Nuggets have proven it. You start winning games, and people start coming in big numbers, and people always go in big numbers to the Avs because they win. And so we'll get better crowds when they get better teams. There are some things that they do that are nice in the ballpark, though, to make the fans happy.
Such as,
we have a better scoreboard than almost anybody. Coors Field, it lists the lineups for both teams all the time. So when our team's up and we hit a fly ball that their left fielder makes a terrific catch on, you wonder, who was that guy? You can just consult the scoreboard and, oh, that was, yeah, that's good. And you can also look ahead to the next inning and see who's coming up. Most other ballparks, you can't do that. And we have a better policy in terms of bringing in stuff. Like last year, I went to a game in Houston. Guy I was with, they confiscated the package of sunflower seeds he had in his pocket because you can't bring food in.
No.
Yeah. And in Coors Field, you could bring in a bucket of chicken from KFC if you want to. They don't care. And the Mets in New York, they don't let you bring in a plastic bottle of pop or coolers at all. You can bring both those things into Coors Field.
So Coors, you can bring everything. Well, if they had cheerleaders, would that help? You know, the Broncos have tryouts for cheerleaders, and I went last year because they said you had to be 18 or older, and I thought that I probably qualified. So I went, and actually I just went to observe. But it was, and they really, those people who are cheerleaders, I mean, they really have had professional dance training, and they had TV cameras and monitors set up. This is a big deal operation. So would baseball benefit from anything like that, or is that too cheesy for baseball?
Baseball is not short on cheese. if their mascot is a perfect example of that, and other things they do, but there are a few things they could do to make the fans happier.
They could have escalators at work, for example, that don't make you take your life in your hand. You know, I want to say something. I'm new to Denver, and I spent a long, long time living in the Bay Area, so I'd go to the Stick and watch the Giants play, and now they're in that gorgeous park, Pac Bell Stadium, which I have not been to. But when I first moved to Denver, which has only been about a year and a half ago, under 2 years, one of the first things I saw as I came to work, and in our offices are in Lodo, people taking off from the office and just walking a few blocks to the stadium. And I thought that was so fantastic, and I still love it. When I come to work and I see people walking to a game, I think that's exactly where a stadium should be.
That's right. Baseball games are best enjoyed when you're supposed to be someplace else some afternoon, when you're supposed to be at work.
Well, when you ditch the office and you go to a baseball game instead, I think there's something so delicious about that.
Pac Bell, by the way, has been renamed this year. They sold the naming rights to somebody else. It's got some other name. It's not as nice as Pac Bell.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I'm going to San Francisco next week, so I'll find out. Seriously?
Check it out.
I hate this. Yeah. I hate when it's Invesco Stadium. I really love the name Mile High. Now, you are, as a colorful public relations person, you have worked with John Hickenlooper. And did you have something to do with that failed campaign to keep the name? Because Invesco has been associated with all this kind of fraud and stuff lately.
Well, almost every, in recent times, if you put your name on a stadium, you're doomed as a corporation. There's a TWA dome, and they're out of business.
What is there, a Pan Am anything? Pan Am Pavilion?
Yes, there is. It's amazing. But let's not get into that. I will tell you a story. Hickenlooper is a terrific baseball fan. He's been to every opening day of the Rockies, home and away. And he's from the first one, which was played in New York City. This week, he went down to Phoenix. It was in the paper. He made a bet with the mayor of Phoenix. He bet him a classroom of students. If the Rockies win, the Phoenix has to send a classroom of Denver students to a Rockies game, and vice versa. And he thought this was a chancy bet because the Arizona Diamondbacks had their super ace Randy Johnson pitching, but the Rockies got to him. Hickenlooper is quite a fan. He was a pitcher in high school, and he knows baseball very well.
Since you've written a book about baseball, and here it is, let me just tell everybody the title again. You can buy it at both Tattered Covers. They've got Rockies in Their Heads by Lou Cady. In just a few seconds, we only have a couple of seconds left, what is it that you love about baseball? Why does it speak to you?
Well, one thing I like about it is it may never end, because it doesn't have a clock. It could go infinite number of innings. And so you never know how long you're going to be there. When will this game be over? I don't know. When will this inning be over? I don't know. When will this at-bat be over? You don't know that yet. The guy could foul off pitches until your birthday and the next birthday.
Thank you for joining us today. And Darren slips me this note when we're talking about names. It's such bad luck to name your stadium the Enron Field in Houston.
Yes.
The king of bad luck.
And it's now called Minute Maid Park.
Is it really?
Yes.
You know, I think this is so hideous. If they're going to do that, then politicians should be like race car drivers and wear jackets that say bought and paid for by the energy interests, Enron, you name it.
Tattooed foreheads come to mind.
Lou Cady, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN. Guess what? We've got them both. AM 1150 KNRC.
Get Express, a front disc brake service at Pep Boys for just $49.99 after mail-in rebate. Or get a $50 mail-in rebate with our best quiet stop brake service. See store for details, Pep Boys, part, service, and so much more.
At CA, we're the management software experts, but we don't just manage servers and databases. Our software helps manage ATMs, PDAs, VIPs, and URLs. Payrolls, road tolls, phone calls, church halls, medical records, financial records, academic records, and probably also some record stores. Imports, exports, ports, sports, and even a few forts. To find out more about CA's commitment to improving everyday life, every day, go to ca.com/radio.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
For more than 90 years, the Children's Hospital has provided clinical care, research, education, and advocacy for children. Enjoy a day of shopping on Saturday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Two Crazy Ladies with a percentage of every sale to benefit the Children's Hospital. Purchase name brand clothing and accessories from Calvin Klein, DKNY, Ralph Lauren, Jones of New York, Tommy Hilfiger, Eddie Bauer, and more at below wholesale prices at Two Crazy Ladies, located at 5686 Logan Court.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
When you've got to know what's going on.
What's going on here?
All you gotta do is tune in. Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 to noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1258. On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 3 o'clock. We're coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month, and the theme of this month's show is baseball. So we have many more guests lined up. We're talking about all aspects of baseball and how baseball has a lot to do with life. Maybe some things that it doesn't have very much to do with, but I'm enjoying it very much, and I'm not that much of a sports person. I should let you know that my cousin is just retired from Sports Illustrated. He was a managing editor there. Lots more to come. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC. And if you're cruising around, cruise by, stop in and say hello, or honk as you pass the press club, because Justin and his crew will run out and give you a free KNRC t-shirt, a drive talking mug, and some other kind of tchotchke that your life will not be complete without right here on AM 1150 KNRC. You'll see our extravagantly painted KNRC mobile. You have never seen a vehicle like this in your life. And if it runs or not, it's going to be more or less problematic, but it's really lots of fun to look at. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. This is the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. Two more hours. Keep it right here.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chip Reed. Hundreds of residents are leaving the Iraqi city of Fallujah, taking advantage of a break in the battle there. U.S. officials called a halt to let in relief supplies and talk with rebel leaders. Coalition spokesman Dan Senor says the city will be made peaceful because the stakes there are high.
Everyone understands that we have a responsibility to address a situation that is hostile and address a situation in which four American contractors, four American civilian contractors, were not only killed but were mutilated and dragged through the streets.
Fighting in Iraq has killed at least 42 Americans this week. Two U.S. soldiers were killed today in Baghdad. One day after hearing from National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, members of the Special 9/11 Commission have heard private testimony from former Vice President Al Gore. He talked for 3 hours about anti-terrorism concerns during the Clinton administration. Panelists say Gore was candid and forthcoming. I'm Chip Reed, NBC News Radio.
Beginning April 11th, the History Channel is proud to bring you the Emmy Award-winning epic, Band of Brothers. The true story of the men of Easy Company who defined courage for a generation of Americans. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's the best miniseries in the history of television. Band of Brothers, executive produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Give it a hero's welcome.
This weekend, it's all about you at the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale this Friday and Saturday only. Just in time for Easter, find exceptional savings store-wide. Plus, come in for your bonus scratch-off card and get extra savings of 10, 15, even 20% off sale and clearance prices when you use your JCPenney card. Don't miss the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale, because you deserve it.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale April 10th.
Good afternoon. Rainy, 37 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The man who started the picnic rock fire will face arson charges. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
northbound I-25 north of Bellevue. A report of some debris in the center lane there. Basically, the roads around town are very wet and very sloppy, so drive with care and allow a little extra space between you and the car in front. Denver police cleaning up a minor accident northbound on Quebec Street at Interstate 70. Delta Airlines now serving New York's JFK International Airport with two nonstop flights daily. So traveling to the Big Apple or continuing across the Big Pond, Delta gets you there. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, a backyard trash fire that got out of control a week ago this past Tuesday caused the 9,000-acre Picnic Rock fire. Now the man who started that trash fire, Tony Sanchez, faces charges of fourth-degree arson. Larimer County Sheriff's Office spokeswoman Eloise Campanella says the folks living near the burn area that she's spoken to feel compassion for Sanchez and his wife.
It has been expressed to me that this is something that could have happened to anyone and that it was accidental. They know that it was nothing intentional on the Sanchez's part.
The fire, which destroyed one house and a garage, cost more than $2 million to fight. Firefighters finally got 100% containment of the blaze on Wednesday. This report brought to you by Xantrex 3. Police are looking for the driver of a car that crashed into a North Glen house early this morning, then sped off. The cops say they were chasing a stolen vehicle when it crashed through the wall of a house on Irma Drive. A woman was sleeping in the room where the car crashed, and she was taken to a Denver hospital with broken bones. The driver escaped, and North Glen officers would really like to talk to him. The rain showers we're getting today will change to snow this evening, and by tomorrow morning we're expected to have 4 to 8 inches of the white stuff in the metro area. National Weather Service meteorologist Frank Cooper tells us if it's abnormal to get this much snow this late in the season.
Not really. I mean, what's been out of the norm is the fact that we haven't been getting these storms. So this is more close to normal. April March usually, typically, if you go to climatology, give us a lot of snowfall.
Cooper says we could see a little more snow on Sunday, too, and adds that it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday before it starts to warm up. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche take on the Dallas Stars in Game 2 of their best-of-seven playoff series tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Avs go into tonight's game with a 1-0 lead in the series, which will continue in Dallas for Games 3 and 4 on Monday and Wednesday. Denver Nuggets have a half-game advantage over Utah for the 8th playoff spot in the West. Nuggets play the Rockets in Houston tonight. Nuggets coming off their win over Phoenix on Wednesday. Colorado Rockies kick off a 3-game series in L.A. tonight. Rocks lost 2 of 3 during their opening series in Arizona. Rockies come back to Denver for their home opener on Monday against the D-backs. For the first time since 1973, the University of Denver Pioneers are in the title game for the NCAA Men's Hockey Championship. The Pioneers take on the Maine Black Bears tomorrow in Boston. What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3, rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3, at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
AM 1150 KNRC and Desi Cortez live. Sunday mornings at 10, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We have a winter storm watch in effect for the urban corridor through Saturday morning and a winter storm warning for the high country through Saturday afternoon. Highest amounts of snow anywhere from 3 to 6 inches. That'll be in the foothills and our southern suburbs. Showers and maybe thunderstorms, the call for this afternoon with a high of 43. The snow starting tonight, a low of 26. The snow continuing tomorrow, a high of 35. You can expect sunshine to return on Easter Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rainy and 37, KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 135, or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
from AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month, and they always have a theme. And if you're just tuning in, the theme this month is baseball. And on these shows, John Ensland puts them together, and I never know who's going to be joining us until usually the last second. And baseball is not, what you say, anything I really majored in life, but it's a game, it's one of the few sporting games that I sort of understand, and I appreciate in its own way. Some programming notes. I am going to be a guest on Laura Flanders' show on Air America over the weekend on Sunday night. So you can hear it. They stream live. And it is airamericaradio.com. I'll be on between 7 and 8 p.m. Mountain Time Sunday night, a guest on the Laura Flanders' show. I also want to remind you that I will be at Tattered Cover Lodo Monday, April 19th, 7 p.m. to discuss Lee Fenger's book, Peace Like a River. It's the one book that you're supposed to read in the One Book, One Denver project. Next week, we're going to be joined by Craig Unger, who has written House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties. Many of you have requested Craig Unger. We're having him on. And later in the month, we are going to be joined by the two new anchors, new show on Fox 31, Good Day Colorado. Pam Davis and Justin Farmer will be joining us. All that and a lot more next week. Also, I'm going to be in San Francisco Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm filling in for me. Going to be our own Billy Thorpe and also T.R. Reed, who is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post. Joining me right now is the subject of a piece that was really a very affecting piece in Westword, Kevin Moore. He is a Denver lawyer. The story is in this week, in I guess maybe last week's Westword, and it's about baseball and a lot of other things as well. It's called Homer's Run. Sometimes baseball is about more than the game. And Eric Dexheimer is the writer. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Tell me about the story why you were such an interesting subject for Eric in this story. I know you're an attorney. And I know that your family, your father was a sports writer for the Denver Post.
Denver Post, 38 years.
And all of you, he used to take all of you to the park to watch baseball, is that right?
Well, we would go in groups, and he had 8 children, and we would fill a row or a section with our family and enjoy a game out at Mile High.
And it's instilled in you with this really wonderful love of baseball.
Well, my love of baseball started way earlier than that, when I could throw and catch a ball, and my father and my older brothers taught me how to play the game, and we all played on teams, and we played on very competitive teams, and we all had a great time, and obviously carried that through into young adulthood when we could no longer play.
You come from a large family, and you take your kids, according to the story, you're always taking them on baseball vacations, and you pile everybody into the car, and what do? Where do you go?
Well, my wife, Sabrina, who's been great about the great game of baseball, it was her idea one summer that we should see America, and we should see America without the trappings of the tourist traps and amusement parks. And it was actually her idea that we start a baseball tour, and we started in Colorado Springs, and in that particular trip we went through the Midwest and into Texas, and each city that we stopped in we made sure had a team and had a game scheduled, and basically every day or night we saw a game. We'd go back to a different hotel and swim in their little pools and get up the next day and go on to the next one.
How many kids do you have?
I have 2.
And they are?
Daniel, who's aged 18, uh-huh. And my daughter Devin, who's 15.
And did Devin, was she as interested in baseball, or this was just something that was the water the fish swims in? This is the family she grew up in, and it was all baseball, not all the time, but a lot of the time, right?
That's how it worked. She was the small fish in the pond, and I remember taking her out to Mile High when the Rockies came to Denver, and even before, and she would crawl around and play in the peanut shells and get dirty and enjoy the game that way. And I later taught her how to keep score, and that kept her interest greatly. She knows how to keep score about as good as anybody. And she played softball, too. So she had the bug, and she enjoys the game as well.
There's a side story that Eric covers. Your brother. Tell us about your brother, Mike.
My brother, Michael, he was 42 in the year 2000, and we were planning a trip to the California minor leagues. And we received word that Michael had passed during the trip. And it was.
But there's a story beforehand. Michael suddenly got involved with a woman who you come to find out. Tell us the story. Tell us the story about Michael's wife.
Well,
you had all been a very, I take it, a rather close-knit family.
Very close. And Michael ventured out of the Denver area. He was the first of the eight children to do that. He moved to Las Vegas because he had an opportunity to go to Las Vegas, got a good job with Cox Cable, mm-hmm. which is a very large cable company in the Southwest. They dominate.
They also have a big broadcasting entity as well.
They do.
Cox Broadcasting.
And he had an opportunity to relocate, and he went out there actually with his longtime common law wife, and they broke up. And about, oh, I'd say about a year later, he sent word back that he'd met a new gal. You know, sung her praises as being something that really she wasn't. So.
And what did you find out that she was?
Well, she had a troubled past. She had a criminal history. He basically...
Drugs, prostitution.
Drugs, prostitution, DUIs, acts of domestic violence and things of that nature. Mike later revealed that she was like a bird that he was going to repair and bring back to a normal life.
And
it just didn't happen that way. Didn't happen that way. This was a leopard that wasn't going to change her spots. And
He had her in rehab a number of times?
Had her in rehab about six or seven times that I can confirm, and didn't do very well in those. Somewhere along the line, they had a child together, and that's little Mariah. She's five now, and when Michael passed, she was two.
What were the details of Michael's death? Do you know?
Well, that's very murky because of the crazy privacy laws that Las Vegas has with regard to even criminal records, and they hold those very close to the vest, and it was subject to much controversy at the time. We were told that Michael died of a heart attack. We were not privy to the autopsy report because the child, interestingly enough, was his next of kin in the eyes of Nevada law. And therefore, the guardian, who was the maternal grandmother, we later found out, had access to those results, but we did not. It took us about 6 months to figure out that his actual cause of death was a blunt head trauma death.
Do you suspect that she might have been responsible for it?
Well, we have our suspicions, but at this point, there's not a whole lot of closure that we can gain from digging into the cause of his demise. And I focused on extracting that young girl from that area and from a town that I think is a tough town for children, to say the least, a tough home environment.
Did the mother ever get her act together?
No, she still lives in Las Vegas, and much to our chagrin and over our objections, still has contact with Mariah.
The little five-year-old. And the little five-year-old also has a stepsister?
She does.
That's a little bit older. Is it Danielle?
It is.
Okay, so now you and your wife, you have two of your own children.
That's correct.
You grew up in this large family.
Yes.
The family apparently had a meeting to decide that, at coming to the realization that Mariah needed a better life than she was going to have with her maternal grandmother and her mother. And you are trying to get custody of Mariah and her stepsister, Danielle?
And Danielle now. We've grown to love this child. And from our first visit, which was allowed by the court in March of 2001, the court ordered the older child to come along with visits, and we welcomed her. And she's been along with all the visits, and we've come to love her very much. And we'd also like to pull her out of that environment.
And you all go on baseball trips together?
Well, because of our limited court-ordered visitations with them, what we try to do when we have the children is focus on our home life, introducing them to how we do things, books and plays and games. We do go to baseball games together. We've been to baseball games in Las Vegas. They have a minor league team there. So when we visit out there, which is about every 6 weeks since March of 2001, we make sure to coordinate ball games. So we see their team.
And was there a point where Mariah's eyes began, or was it Danielle's eyes began to light up when they were restless otherwise at the stadium and when they learned how to keep score? Tell us about that.
Well, that was a great moment. We were watching the Tacoma Rainiers against the Las Vegas Area 51s, and they were the Las Vegas Stars for years. But I was sitting with Danielle. She was 8 at the time. This was last summer. And about the third or fourth inning, I explained to her that I didn't want to jinx it, but the pitcher for the Vegas team had a no-hitter going. And she inquired as to why that would be a jinx, and we discussed it. And every baseball fan will tell you, you're not supposed to mention the fact that someone has a no-hitter going. But I did share that information with her. She inquired further about my scorecard and what it meant. And so I immediately picked up another for her and taught her the science and art of keeping score. And she really, really enjoyed the fact that she could watch the game, watch every pitch, and it meant something in terms of that scorecard and how she filled in balls and strikes and outs and who threw it to what man on the field to get them out. And it was an eye-opener for both of us.
A story about how baseball can be a kind of unexpected salvation. What are the impediments to getting custody of Mariah and her older sister Danielle?
Well, part of the problem is that when Mariah was born, unknown to us, she was immediately put into the guardianship of the maternal grandmother. So our case is not so much against Mom. And that's why we didn't focus on Mom and Mike's death and the cause of his death. We've been focused on their home environment, which is with the maternal grandmother.
Does the maternal grandmother not want to give up the girls?
She doesn't want to give them up. She obviously loves the children. And
is she very capable?
I would disagree that she's capable. I think there's signs of problems. There's signs of issues. There are orders from the court that they are to have certain things done in terms of assessing, let's say, for instance, Mariah for fetal alcohol syndrome. We know that the mother was, in fact, drinking during the pregnancy. We know she was doing drugs during the pregnancy. And Grandma was ordered to have that assessment done. She's very naive and not sophisticated in that area. She failed to do it. We had a guardian ad litem appointed by the court who was supposed to help in this process. It was wholly ineffective, did a disastrous job, did not investigate, and with our consent, she's withdrawn from the case because she wasn't doing anything anyway. So our next move is to seek a co-guardianship status and then ultimately a change of residence. And we hope to have that done fairly quickly. Most of the experts that I've been discussing this problem with have told me that you really don't want to pull the children out if you don't have to, if it's not life-threatening, at a young age like 4 or 3, because of their bonding ability. They need to have that ability to bond with someone. They need to have that for life. And it's better to remove children from a situation like that after the age of 5. We've hit that point, so it's time to turn up the heat and make our pitch to the courts in Las Vegas.
I really hope you're successful because it's clear that you love these little girls, even though only one of them is actually your brother's child.
That's correct.
But you will take them as a pair of sisters.
It's a package deal.
It's a package deal. Does Mariah show any interest in baseball?
Mariah is a little imp, and she's a little elf. She takes great interest in my son, Dan. Dan's a baseball star. He plays high school baseball for Holy Family. He's a 3-year letterman, and of course he loves the game. And Mariah wants to see his baseball pictures. She wants to see his basketball pictures. She wants buttons. She shows great interest in the game that way. But she enjoys the ballparks. She enjoys the trips in terms of getting ready, you know, why do we need a glove? Can I get some peanuts and Cracker Jack and things of that nature? But I'm sure she'll grow to love the game.
Well, I think that she and her sister are lucky to have you for an uncle.
Oh, that's very kind.
And I hope that you're successful in this. And I'm amazed because, you know, you read all these stories about how children are, I won't say words of the court, but there's, you know, the foster system or where the state is supposed to maintain or assume a certain guardianship. And then these kids fall through the cracks and you read stories about how they're starved. And in some cases, you can be well fed in terms of the actual food and then starved intellectually and starved emotionally. So I think the quicker you get in there and get those kids and bring them back.
I can tell you that.
Into the warm womb of baseball, the better it will be.
Yes, I agree. Attending sessions of court in Las Vegas is a true eye-opener, even for me as an attorney who practices in family law. It's a very sad situation there, and I just hope, like you said, that we're successful. I think we will be.
I think you're going to be successful. You're going to have to be very persistent and vigilant, I think, but it sounds to me like I don't need to tell you that. Kevin Moore, thank you so much for joining us today. Kevin Moore, a Denver attorney, Eric Dexheimer wrote a really moving piece about him in last week's Westword, and it's entitled Homer's Run. Sometimes baseball is about more than the game. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
AM 1150 KNRC, Radio Disney, and the Denver Zoo are teaming up to celebrate the return of spring during Great to Be Green on Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Denver Zoo. Bring the whole family. There will be lots of great events for kids like a scavenger hunt, close-up encounters with wild animals, and an opportunity to learn how to help save animals all over the world. Great to Be Green this Saturday at the Denver Zoo, brought to you by Radio Disney and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Studies show those of us who work the night shift get between 2 to 4 hours less sleep than the rest of the population. Sleep deprivation causes difficulties in concentration and impairs your judgment, making you more vulnerable to accidents. It can also lead to stomach difficulties, cold, flu, and even high blood pressure and heart problems. But falling asleep when the sun is out is difficult. The key is resetting your circadian rhythm. You can do this through light therapy. First, invest in blackout blinds to cut out at least 90% of the light in your bedroom. You can also buy a dawn-to-dusk simulator to gently awaken and sleep to the type of light nature intended. Some sleep doctors recommend sitting in front of a specially designed light box of 10,000 lux for a half hour immediately upon awakening every day. Wear two watches, one for actual time and one for your body's time. Adjust your meals accordingly and stick with your weekday sleep pattern, even on weekends. Chris Maurer, CNBC. Business Radio.
Does it seem like the senior partner at your accounting firm is, well, not so easy to reach?
Hello, I'm out all week again. If you leave here,
you may get the impression your business isn't, shall we say, top of mind. Why not try Grant Thornton, where you'll get easy access to our partners and resources in 48 U.S. offices, providing accounting services with integrity since 1924. Get to know us at grantthornton.com. We've got a passion for the business of accounting.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
He won't read you word for word the Denver Post on his show every morning.
Who are you?
Jimmy Lakey on AM 1150 KNRC.
Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
128 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month. We invite you to come in. We still have some T-shirts to give away, although Justin and the truck are going to go to the next place, which is Bennett's Barbecue. Doug is going to do a show live from Bennett's, and it's near the Denver Tech Center, Arapahoe, and Lima. So Justin and the KNRC Mobile and his crew, consisting of Jared and Rainey, will be out there shortly giving away T-shirts and Drive Talk and mugs and all kinds of other tchotchkes that you can't live without. AirAmericaRadio.com, and that's Sunday night on the Laura Flanders Show, 7 to 8 o'clock Mountain Time. Joining us right now is a legend, Charlie Metro. He's a former Major League ball player, former manager, former coach, subject of a biography, Safe by a Mile. Charlie Metro, or you wrote it, Safe by a Mile, about baseball, or is it about you?
It's all about baseball.
All about baseball, so I have that slightly wrong, by Charlie Metro with Tom, is it Altair? Altair?
Yeah, Tom Altair, professor of Metro State.
Professor at Metro State. Yeah. Charlie, welcome. Thank you for joining
Thank
us today.
You. Incidentally, they named the school after me.
Well, of course, and why not? But, I think the shorter list is who haven't you played for? Charlie starts out by telling me his background, that he was with the Denver Bears coaching and managing 60-61, but also you manage what, Chicago Cubs?
Chicago Cubs, Kansas City Royals, coach for the Chicago White Sox, coach for the Oakland Athletics, played for Detroit Tigers and Philadelphia Athletics, played for Connie Mack, played for Casey Stengel. Coach for Billy Martin, coach for Al Lopez, so I've been around.
I guess you have. I think you must be a walking encyclopedia of baseball.
I hope so.
What positions did you play?
Center field, but don't tell me, don't ask about my batting average in the big leagues.
Well, I'll ask about a different kind of batting average, but maybe we won't talk about that now. Well, since you're talking about the Cubs, I have a story about the, well, maybe it's not much of a story, it's a Chicago story, but when I was living in the Bay Area, a friend's friend got married, and he was the manager for the Giants, and now I can't remember his name. It was a few years back, and he got married, and my dinner, sitting with me at the bridal dinner, was Harry Carey. So my big baseball story is that Harry Carey was very flirtatious and asked me to dance. So that's the only thing I can tell you about Chicago baseball.
Oh, yeah, good taste.
Well, thank you. Aren't you nice, Charlie? A few years ago, you had an adventure. And you went to Florida. Tell me about it.
When I went to Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to tell me.
Does that have something to do with the making a cast of Ted Williams' Hand?
Oh, yes. Well, a lady artist, did a bronze artist. And we did Ted Williams' Hands, made a life cast of Ted Williams' Hands, and we call it Hitter's Hands.
Oh, my goodness. What did you do with it?
We have them, and we market them. Yeah, and fans, all of Ted Williams' fans love them. Well, they're a limited edition of 36, but we've got 28 Hall of Famers under contract.
Their hands?
Their hands. These are life casts.
How much do each one of these cost?
Well, they priced them from $5,000 to $12,500. The players did it, and these are all Hall of Famers that are magnificent.
Do you have the whole collection?
Yes.
You do?
We sell them, yes.
But isn't Ted Williams kind of frozen at the moment?
Yes, and it's a terrible thing.
What is the story there?
Well, his son
and his son just died,
yes,
right? The
yes.
son decided that they were going to freeze him till they could find a cure for whatever he had.
To bring him back.
To bring him back and thaw him out. You know, what if there's a power outage? That's what I always wonder. You know, they freeze these people. What if there's a, and they freeze sperm too. What if there's a power outage and it all spoils and then they refreeze it again?
It melts.
And you don't know. That's right, it melts. So you don't know what you've got. Could be a mutant.
Yes.
I mean, is Ted Williams still frozen now that the sun has
that's
died?
That's what I understand, yeah.
Well, what are they going to do? What if they stop paying the bills? What do they do? Let you thaw?
I have no idea. I think.
Did you know Ted Williams?
Very well. Very well.
What would you say about him?
I played against him and I managed against him and I know him personally. He's a wonderful person. Very kind, very generous. But
would he be mortified to know that this is the way he ended up?
Oh, this would be terrible. He'd hate this.
Having had so illustrious a career, Charlie Metro, as you have had in the majors, coaching, managing, playing, what are your observations about baseball then and now, or what, you know, has baseball changed significantly as far as you're concerned, these big, lots of money that players get now?
Well, you'd be surprised at the increase. When I first signed a contract with the Detroit Tigers in 1943, it was for $1,800 for the year.
$1,800
for the year.
Did you know Joe DiMaggio?
Very well.
Was he a bastard? You know, there were a couple of biographies, and that he was sort of a jerk.
No.
That he could be very cold with people.
Well,
that,
you had a
fabulous player, but not a great human being.
Well, he never liked to be bothered. Yeah, I sat with him one time at a minor league meeting, major league meeting, for 2 hours, and all he was gracious, and all he talked about. See, I saw him play. And he was great, absolutely great. But unfortunately, he had an agent that was terrible. The agent was just draining.
Because in the end, you know, he lived in San Francisco, and I lived in San Francisco for such a long time. And he would, you know, they'd drag him out to these ball signings, mm-hmm. which were kind of horrible. He'd get all this money for signing baseballs for kids and stuff.
Well, you'd be surprised how much they get now.
Do you ever go to those?
Oh yeah, I've got mine is worth $20.
What was he getting? What was Joe DiMaggio getting for a signed baseball? A lot of money.
Oh, he went to a signing thing several times that I know of where he got $100,000.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars every time he went out to do the sign. Yeah. In your opinion, who is the best? Was there somebody who you really thought was head and shoulders as a baseball player above everybody else?
Babe Ruth.
No question about it.
No question. I saw him as a young boy.
Was it a young boy's judgment, or was it the adult with experienced judgment?
No, he was the idol. He was just like there's idols now.
Right.
He was an idol for every kid that ever picked up a baseball glove or a bat or a ball. It was Babe Ruth. And I hitchhiked to New York, and I saw him play.
You did?
Yes. I was about 12 years old. Got thrown in jail twice on the trip.
Where did you hitchhike from?
I lived in Pennsylvania near Johnstown and hitchhiked.
Did your parents know you were going to hitchhike to Washington?
Oh, yes. They
let you go when you were 12 years old by yourself?
Yeah, I had a sister living in New York, and I wrote her a letter and told her I was coming to see Babe Ruth. So I hitchhiked. And in Gettysburg, I was out on the road, and the police stopped me and took me to jail, said I was a runaway. I said, no, I'm going to see Babe Ruth.
They let you go?
Yeah, they let me go.
Ah! Did you know at that early age that your career was going to be baseball? Was it evident to you at that time, or did you sort of grow into it?
Baseball was everything. Now, I'm of Ukrainian descent. Mm-hmm. My mother and father immigrated here, and I'm of Ukrainian descent. And where my father got the love of baseball, I don't know, but he was fascinated by American baseball. So I grew up with it. I was a bat boy when I was 5 years old, 6 years old for the town team. And I spent 50 years in baseball, in all walks, player, manager, scout, everything, coach. I did everything, and I've loved it, every minute of it.
Are there any surprises for you, having spent so many years in baseball? I mean, I guess it's the water the fish swims in that's the only life you know is the life of baseball, but you were able to take a sport that for some people is a great passion and make it your whole life, your livelihood. I think that's really extraordinary.
Well, you'd be surprised at the kind of jobs I turned down. I was very successful as a manager, minor league manager. Not too good up in the major leagues, but I was very successful. I turned down $30,000 and $40,000 a year in jobs to manage. When I came to Denver, I turned out $35,000 a year to manage, continue managing Vancouver in the Pacific Coast League. I turned it down for $15,000.
For $15,000? Yeah, why? Because you just love doing that?
I was out of a job up there. I was there 3 years, and they changed everything, and so I was out, if you want to call it that. So I wanted to get a job, and I got a job here.
What does it take to be so successful in baseball?
Oh, love of it.
Love of it? A great understanding of human nature, maybe?
Yes.
What does it take to be a good coach?
You have to know how to handle it quick. You have to be quick thinking, quick action manager. You have to be thinking. You have to know how to handle baseball.
What would people be surprised to know about baseball that they don't typically know?
Well, in my book that I've written.
And he wrote the book, it's called Safe by a Mile, yes. Charlie Metro with Tom Alter.
Yes. There's nothing bad about that in there. There's no smear, no nothing.
No, but what would people be surprised to know about baseball? I don't mean the underbelly of it or deals or things like that, but the qualities that get you farther.
Well, you have to be dedicated, and you have to be in perfect physical condition to be a ball player. And incidentally,
is it too much of a business now? Too much preoccupation with the grosses.
Well,
and when Barry Bonds of years ago in San Francisco going through a divorce, don't ask. Huge amounts of money were at stake. Terribly contentious and very public divorce proceeding.
Well, it's not the same. Although I almost say
drugs now.
Yes. Oh, that's terrible. I think that stuff that they're doing now is terrible. I think they should. There's a flyer on every baseball clubhouse, professional clubhouse in the whole world that says about gambling. So there's no gambling allowed.
And, tell it to Pete Rose.
Oh. maybe he'll get run over by a truck.
Charlie Metro, thank you so much for joining us today. It's wonderful to meet you, a legend. His book, Safe by a Mile, Charlie Metro. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Rainy, 37 degrees now. Police are looking for a driver who crashed into a house this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Continues to be a very wet drive around the Denver metropolitan area. Speeds are very, very slow, especially as you come into and out of downtown. Only one freeway problem to talk about. It's an obstruction on the ramp from eastbound I-70 to Quebec Street, and that obstruction is in the form of a person who's walking back and forth across the exit ramp there. Delta Airlines now serving New York's JFK International Airport with two nonstop flights daily. So traveling to the Big Apple or continuing across the Big Pond, Delta gets you there. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Police in North Glen are on the lookout for the driver of a car that crashed into a house early this morning and then sped off. The cops were chasing a stolen car when it crashed into the house, injuring a woman who was asleep inside. That woman was hospitalized with broken bones. This report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. The man whose backyard trash fire got out of control and started the Picnic Rock fire faces fourth-degree arson charges. The fire in Larimer County, which was fully contained after more than a week, scorched about 9,000 acres and destroyed a house and a garage. Today's weather hampered CDOT crews in their scaling work in the area of yesterday's rock slide in the high country. Crews wrapped up for the day at about 11:30 this morning. CDOT is reminding drivers in the high country that it is rock slide season and you need to stay alert when on the roads there. When spring is in the air, it means one thing. A bug baby boom is in progress. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Do not change the channel.
Not your grandfather's talk radio station. We're yours.
We're yours.
The new generation of Denver talk radio can be found here. AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Lock it in.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Former Tonight Show band leader Doc Severinsen leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and From Russia with Doc on April 9th and 10th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of snow to 3 to 6 inches in the higher elevations in our southern suburbs. We have a winter storm watch for the urban corridor in effect through Saturday morning, a winter storm warning for the high country through Saturday afternoon. It'll be wet weather for us this afternoon with a high of 43, and then the snow starts tonight, continues tomorrow. We'll drop down to 26 for the low, Saturday's high 35, sunshine for Easter Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
37 degrees and rainy now. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Everybody said go to MedVed.
Buy a new truck, van, or sport utility from MedVed Chevrolet and get discounts up to $13,000. And 0% financing up to 60 months on select Chevrolets is back. MedVed has rows and rows of great Chevrolet Tahoes and Suburbans. Plus, Silverados and the all-new Chevy Colorado pickups are stocked fence to fence. Get discounts up to $6,500 off new Jeep Grand Cherokees at MedVed Chrysler Jeep Wheat Ridge and MedVed Chrysler Jeep Dodge Castle Rock. That's right, $6,500. Plus, 0% financing is available to qualified buyers on Liberties, Grand Cherokees, and Chrysler minivans. With rebates and incentives on just about every truck MedVed sells, you can save thousands. At the giant MedVed Autoplex on the I-25 corridor, depart the 181 ramp, Castle Rock. And on I-70 in Wheat Ridge, exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVed Autoplex. Find out why from the western slope to Kansas, Wyoming to New Mexico.
Everybody said go to MedVed.
Yeah. I'm Tony DeZuri, and this is your Masters Golf Tournament Update. Justin Rose continues to lead at Augusta National. He is minus one through 13 holes. He's 6 under for the tournament. Jose Maria Olazabal is 4 under through 17 today, minus five overall. He is 1 shot back. Chris DeMarco is given a couple of shots back to the field. He is at minus four, 1 under for the day. A couple of defending champs making a move. Marco Mira and Fred Couples are both at 2 under for the day today, minus one for the tournament. And Bernard Langer is even through five. He's also at minus one. Tiger Woods is minus two on the day. He's at plus one for the tournament trying to make the cut. And Phil Mickelson is even par through seven. I'm Tony DeZuri, and this has been your Masters Golf Tournament Update on AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 cannot be held liable if our diverse talk programming forces you to use excessive brain power. Always entertaining and never boring. AM 1150 KNRC. On AM 1150, KNRC.
Hey, it does feel like a love run. 1:45 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club, where the theme this month is baseball. And what I should have said about Charlie Metro, our last guest, is he said he has a record that nobody will ever break, his record, and that is that he's the only Ukrainian manager who has managed in both the American League, that would be the Royals, and the National League, the Cubs. So he's the only Ukrainian who's been a coach in both leagues. And also, you know, he's been a player. He's been a lot of different things. He says it's a record nobody will break. Joining us now in this segment is Don Gaffin, who is the coach of a women's softball team at Legacy High School in Broomfield. She was president at the creation of the program, which was in 1986, almost 20 years ago. Oh, that can't be. It must have been a different Dawn. Dawn is going to talk about women's sports programs and stuff in high schools. Dawn, I want to ask you a question. You started this program At Legacy High?
Yeah, actually, Legacy started in 2000. I've been coaching softball in the state of Colorado since 1987, the first year of its first state tournament.
In the state of Colorado, but
in
not
Colorado,
but not at Legacy.
No, Legacy
is so
a brand
that wrong.
New school.
That's a new school. Okay, mm-hmm. So you've been coaching since 1987.
Yeah.
And what is it? Why is it? Do men not play softball? And I hear, see, now I'm a baseball dope. And what we found out is that women get consigned to the softball team and men play baseball. Why would that be?
Well, actually, we do have a vast majority of men playing fast pitch softball. It's older men. They have several leagues in the state that play fast pitch softball around Denver. One of the best teams in the state is down in Pueblo, actually, and they travel around the United States and compete against other teams, and they play fast pitch softball just like the girls.
What does it take to be a good coach when you're coaching girls?
Communication skills, probably for either one, for either boys or girls. Great communication skills, learning how to teach the skills and the techniques, basic. The skills and the techniques are the same. Strategy is a little bit different.
What makes a great team?
Great team.
You know, you want to have good players, but there are some personality quotients. Mm-hmm. There are personality issues, too, aren't there, in teams?
Definitely.
Probably stuff that you can't quantify, just like how can you, you know, it's like trying to legislate magic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the ingredients that we know about to create a good team?
You know, I've had two great teams in the last 2 years at Legacy High School, and one of the biggest things that we have noticed that makes a great team is the acceptance of roles. Being able to accept each other's roles, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, how they fit into the team, and everybody also acknowledging that that role is just as important as the other person's role. That's the other, the communication piece, talking to each other on the field, off the field, that you're a unit, that synergy is so important because the power of many is much greater than the power of one.
So the whole being greater than the sum of the parts.
Yes, exactly.
How do you communicate that to, you know, I was looking at, you know, in the wake of the CU recruiting scandals,
mm-hmm.
the sexual assault scandals, and then they have a coach there who's coached her, what, 500th? It was basketball?
Right, Seal Berry.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, Seal Berry. And, no, you know, I'm not hearing any scandals coming out of that department.
No, there's not.
And she's done this, and clearly she's done this very successfully for 20-some years.
Right, 26 years.
26 years. Did you know you were going to be a coach?
Actually, I started out to be a CPA in college, and I started
you
coaching.
Did?
Yeah.
Well, where did you make that transition?
I started coaching.
How did you make that right turn?
I started coaching junior high basketball in college. Just fell into it because basketball is actually my first love, and I was like, how can I do this? And I enjoy working with kids, so I decided to teach accounting also. And so I was at the University of Northern Iowa and just got my teaching degree along with the accounting piece and moved out to Colorado, and I've been in the same district for the last 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been fun.
And what are some of the surprises you find in coaching? I mean, do you have any techniques? Because, you know, we hear so many from so many of our friends and reading so many stories about angst-ridden parents who don't know how to communicate with teenagers who are in the mm-hmm. red zone, in the testosterone zone, mm-hmm. whether they're girls or boys. It's a horrible time in everybody's lives. You've been working with kids ages from what to what? Girls
junior
primarily, but junior
mm-hmm.
high through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are some of the secrets you've learned dealing with these kids that their parents can't figure out?
Well, that each kid is an individual. Each kid has a strength, and you have to find that strength and encourage that strength and build that strength and work with them individually. At the same time, trying to teach them how to bond with the team and have that cohesiveness that it takes to make the bigger and better things out of themselves.
How do you teach them to bond with the team?
We
get out of themselves.
We do all kinds
and
of activities.
And their fixation with zits and other important zits and sex.
Boys.
In no particular order.
Yeah. We do all kinds of activities in practice that have nothing related to softball. We play marshmallow softball. We play twist the rag by holding each other's hands. We play beat Barney, beat Barbie, just different
things.
What
do you mean beat Barney, beat Barbie? Sounds like Jerry Falwell. Who thinks that the Teletubbies are gay? What? Barney. Thought Barney was gay, too, for a while.
It is a softball drill to teach. I'm teaching them how to throw accurately. They're just having a good time at doing it. We put Barbie on a step stool, and if the girls hit her, we get 20 points. If they don't hit you, they get no points.
Oh, poor
points.
Barbie.
And they compete against each other. We do it with Barney. We do it with Barbie. They have a good time.
Do you know that there's a trailer trash version of Barbie?
I've heard.
Yeah,
yes.
There is. When you are... You have coached kids, girls. Girls only or boys too?
I actually coach boys basketball and girls softball.
Will boys listen to a woman coach?
They do very well, yes.
So that's not a problem?
No. Okay. They're at that age. They're junior high. They're a little bit different in that junior high age. But I love coaching girls. They're
What's
so
the difference?
Unique. The communication piece, the fairness piece, is very important to girls. And having a relationship with the girls as a coach, I think is so. I call them my girls all the time. They're good kids, and I've got some. I've got a professor at Georgetown right now who went through my program for 4 years at North Glen High School. All kinds of just different vast areas, and I've got my wonderful girls who are probably listening right now.
You can't diss those girls.
No, I can't.
What have you seen over the 20 years mm-hmm. of your coach, roughly 20 years that you've been coaching?
Mm-hmm.
What changes have you seen? Because one of the things we've seen in schools generally mm-hmm. is that because parents are so busy with their lives, the kids are not getting the same kind of training at home that they once had, and mm-hmm. so the schools are having to pick up the slack, and you know, at a time when schools are underfunded and overcrowded, mm-hmm. it's tougher and tougher. Have you noticed changes in kids over the past 20 years? Is it changes in kids or the changes in the households that the kids come from?
Definitely both. Society as a general and the rule of raising the child, I think much more responsibility has fallen on the role of the schools to do that and the coaches. And that's when we talk about looking at an individual. I know when I played, I didn't have a relationship with my coach. It was pretty much you were told what to do. You did it. Jump how high. Do it kind of a thing. Now it's more of a get to know your kids. How can you build them? Because sometimes, especially with girls, because they don't get that piece, that competitive piece, to learn how to transfer that into the business world the way men do.
Are you seeing that the kids are coming to you for coaching?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just tuning in, my guest is Dawn Gaffin, and she's a coach of women's softball team at Legacy High. Are you seeing that the girls who come in for coaching now, and maybe the boys too, getting less attention at home and looking to you for limits? Maybe parents are too permissive because it's just easier to be permissive than it is to set standards?
I think in some areas that I've coached in many different socioeconomic areas. I think in the lower socioeconomic areas, definitely. The upper, we have a lot of parent involvement. My booster club's phenomenal at Legacy High School right now.
Do you get obnoxious parents? Like in Little League, where the parents, you know, get mad at you if
I do.
Their kids aren't handled in a certain way.
I do, and I usually put them to work. They're the ones that I ask to keep score. They're the ones that I ask to run the music. They're the ones that I ask to run the concession stands or help me on the side. I think because if they're involved, then they're not quite so obnoxious because they have an insight to the middle of the team and what's really going on, so they can actually relate that and communicate that to the other parents.
In a career of fine moments, does one stand out?
Yes, this year Legacy went to state for the first time.
Congratulations,
yeah, so
Ben. How did you
top
do?
Five.
I'm applauding. How did you
yes.
do? Top five.
Top five. Mm-hmm. They don't finish out, but we did make it in the top five. So very, very happy with that. And the girls were wonderful. And we're going to do it again this year.
Well, I hope you do. Dawn Gaffin, thank you so much for joining
thank
us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. It's the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN.
Guess what? We've got them both.
AM 1150, KNRC.
At Sears, all treadmills on sale through January 4th. And get great savings on fashion clearance while quantities last. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears, where else?
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Eat to your heart's content on Thursday, April 29th. Dining Out for Life Day. More than 250 Denver Boulder area restaurants will donate 25% of food sales to Project Angel Heart, a nonprofit organization providing nutritious, home-delivered meals to people living with HIV/AIDS, cancer, and other life-threatening illnesses. To learn more about Project Angel Heart, volunteer opportunities, or the list of participating restaurants, visit www.projectangelheart.org. Leadership. Bring it into your life now. From the people who define leadership in America today, KNRC and the Tom Peters Company present the Leadership Challenge Workshop, Tuesday, May 18th, from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Denver Marriott Southeast. It's inspirational, It's interactive. It's proactive. Go online to denverleaders.com now to learn more and register. Special prizes and group rates are available. Log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. That's 527-0607. The Leadership Challenge Workshop, a special one-day seminar sponsored by the Denver Business Journal, First National Bank of Colorado, EKS and H Accounting Firm, and presented by the Tom Peters Company and AM 1150 KNRC.
The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking. This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150, KNRC.
Would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
157 on the Friday edition, fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we are coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. And we have the theme of the show today is baseball. In case you're just tuning in, we've had a lot of people talking about various aspects of it. And what I'm struck by is how baseball is so metaphorical. And there, oh, and here's John Enslin sort of strolling by. Why don't you suit up here, John? John puts our shows together. He's a reporter for the Rocky Mountain News. You just heard him
groan.
It's
nice to sit for a while.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
And we have one more hour coming up. And who have we got? We've got Mark Stutz. You put this together.
Yes.
Tell us why you include.
Well, I'll give you a little preview. This is the bottom part of the lineup. So these are the guys that don't hit very well.
You know.
But actually,
I don't think they're going to be pleased of you saying that.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, thank you for putting me at the head table at the Carl Hiaasen Damon Runyon dinner. He was a
fun?
Wonderful dinner. Yeah, he probably wants his money back. I don't think he thought dinner companion.
He seemed to have a good time.
But he was fabulous, and I love his work.
My favorite line of his.
What?
He said he was talking about South Florida, and he said other places. Other countries have political assassinations. In South Florida, we assassinate fashion designers.
That's a good line. Johnny Versace.
Right.
All right, so we got one more hour coming up. What do you want to alert us to? We'll talk to you at the end.
One really good thing, Enid, just give your listeners a heads up. Great program Wednesday of this coming week,
mm-hmm.
on the 14th, war correspondents from both the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News, people that covered the Iraq conflict at various times. They're going to take part in a panel discussion here at noon on Wednesday.
Noon on Wednesday? Do you have to be a member to come?
No, you can be a member of the public. All you got to do is
a
call.
Member of the public? That's all of us.
That would be
it?
Us. Yeah. You have to be alive.
You have to have a pulse.
You have to be alive and walking on 2 feet. And,
You can come in.
That's true.
Otherwise.
He'll carry you in.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we'll take that. But you also have to pay $18.
$18, and it's this Wednesday at the Press Club, noon?
12 noon, and if you're interested, call 303-571-5260.
Thank you, John Enslin. Don't go anywhere. One more hour of Enid Live coming up right here, live from the Denver Press Club. It is the fabulous Friday edition. You can participate. Stop by. We have a few T-shirts yet to give. One more hour. Keep it right here on 1150 AM.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. Yesterday it was Condoleezza Rice and former President Clinton. Today it was former Vice President Al Gore appearing before the 9/11 Commission. NBC's Bob Kerr on Capitol Hill says the topic was terrorism.
The commission meeting for a couple of hours with Gore today, 3+ hours with Mr. Clinton yesterday, but those meetings were private.
Panel members say Gore was candid and forthcoming. More explosions now in Fallujah being rocked tonight as U.S. troops resume their attacks on rebel forces. Negotiations with militant leaders apparently didn't get it very far. Hundreds of people have been fleeing the city. And call it Black Hawk Drown. Army helicopters hovering over the tidal basin in Washington today for a photo op were apparently unaware their rotor wash was blasting tourists in paddle boats below and blowing the blossoms off D.C.'s famous cherry trees. The pilots may be reprimanded. Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that Napa Auto Parts has all the performance and appearance products you need for your sport compact car? Just check out the new Extreme Streets department at your nearest Napa Auto Parts store. You'll find all the top names like NOS, K&N, Flowmaster, and a huge selection of performance and style accessories from APC. This is the good stuff. So stop by Napa Auto Parts and check out our new Extreme Streets section today. Get the good stuff. Napa, get the good stuff.
This weekend, it's all about you at the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale this Friday and Saturday only. Just in time for Easter, find exceptional savings store-wide. Plus, come in for your bonus scratch-off card and get extra savings of 10, 15, even 20% off sale and clearance prices when you use your JCPenney card. Don't miss the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale because you deserve it.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Due on April 10th.
Good afternoon. Rainy, 37 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Arson charges are coming for the man who started the picnic rock fire. I'll have that story in a moment. But first, let's check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Wet roads, slower than usual speeds, cuts down the accident rate here in town. Nothing going on the freeways except a lot of splashback, of course. Second and Columbine in Cherry Creek, watch for an accident. Also an obstruction of the roadway. It's a ladder, and it's blocking the ramp from southbound I-25 to westbound C-470. Subway introduces four new fresh salads like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb-controlled dressing. Subway, eat fresh. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, Tony Sanchez, whose backyard trash fire got out of control and started the picnic rock fire, will face charges of fourth-degree arson. Larimer County Sheriff's Corporal Craig Kern reads the charge Sanchez faces.
You knowingly started or maintained a fire on your own property and placed a building in danger of damage.
The fire wound up scorching about 9,000 acres and destroyed a house and a garage. The bill for fighting the fire tops $2 million. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. An officer involved shooting this morning in Fort Collins has put a 34-year-old man in the hospital. According to spokeswoman Rita Davis, police responded to a call about a disturbance. When they arrived, the suspect pointed a gun at them.
Police officers fired, or I should say shots were fired. He was hit in the upper right leg and was transported to the Poudre Valley Hospital by ambulance where he is treated for his injuries. He's in stable condition.
He was shot by an officer who is now on paid administrative leave pending an investigation. Police not releasing the identity of the officer or the suspect. The rain we're seeing this afternoon will change over to heavy, wet snow tonight and continue into the morning hours. National Weather Service meteorologist Frank Cooper says we'll probably see 4 to 8 inches of snow in the metro area with the heaviest accumulations near the foothills. Cooper says while the snow in the metro area should abate tomorrow morning, more could come back on Sunday.
We have another possibility of maybe getting a little bit more snow be Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, but right now that doesn't look like a real strong storm.
Cooper adds that it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday before we get a warm-up. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Dallas Stars meeting tonight at the Pepsi Center for Game 2 of their best-of-seven playoff series. Avs have a one-game-to-none lead after Wednesday night's 3-1 win over the Stars. Games 3 and 4 set for Monday and Wednesday in Dallas. Denver Nuggets play the Rockets in Houston tonight. Nuggets beat the Rockets when they last played earlier this month. Denver has a half-game lead over Utah for the 8th playoff spot in the West. Colorado Rockies are in Los Angeles tonight starting a 3-game series against the Dodgers. Rocks gave up 2 of 3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks this week. Rockies home opener set for Monday afternoon. The DU Pioneers are in the title game for the NCAA Hockey Championships for the first time since 1973. Pioneers play the Maine Black Bears tomorrow afternoon in Boston. Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from condominiums to single family to custom homes, just 20 minutes north of downtown, on the web at vistaridge.net. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local. All day Saturday and Sunday, listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland, beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Being able to wake up every morning with Allison is kind of like having a sleepover with your best friend.
I love my husband. We have so much fun. We do everything together.
Imagine having the companionship of a best friend, the passion of true love, and a shared view of the most important things in life, all in one person. That kind of relationship would be something special, wouldn't it? Well, at eHarmony.com, these are exactly the kinds of relationships that result when couples are matched based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It is beyond joy to be able to come home to someone who really loves you.
Being seen and loved by that one person in the world with whom you are meant to be. At eHarmony.com, we don't think that's too much to ask for.
I cannot imagine life without Allison.
That's why if you're looking for your soulmate, check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We have a winter storm watch in effect for the urban corridor through Saturday morning and a winter storm warning for the high country through Saturday afternoon. Highest amounts of snow anywhere from 3 to 6 inches. That'll be in the foothills and our southern suburbs. Showers and maybe thunderstorms, the call for this afternoon with a high of 43. The snow starting tonight, a low of 26. The snow continuing tomorrow, a high of 35. You can expect sunshine to return on Easter Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150. KNRC.
Rainy and 37 now. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm coming to you live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month. We've still got a few T-shirts that we're giving away. Any more drive-talking mugs? Joe doesn't know. We'll see if they start talking to you. If you've had a little too much to drink at the Press Club and those mugs start talking to you, you know that you have these drive-talking mugs. The theme is baseball. We have these once-a-month themes. John Enslin, who is the president of the Denver Press Club and a reporter for the Rocky Mountain News, puts together our Press Club shows. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about fantasy baseball, but let me give you a couple of programming notes. First of all, Doug Kellett, live today from Bennett's Barbecue around near the Denver Tech Center, Arapahoe, and is it Lima or Lima, do we say? One of those two. Lima. I'm getting pronunciation cues here from the Fantasy League. Lima. Also, to let you know, I'm going to be on Air America Radio Sunday night on the Laura Flanders Show between 7 and 8 p.m., and that's Mountain Time. And Air America is the new, they stream live, airamericaradio.com. It's a new liberal radio network. Also, want to let you know that Monday, April 19th, I'll be at Tattered Cover Low Dose, 7 p.m., leading a book discussion on Leif Enger's book, Peace Like a River. It's part of the One Denver, One Book, One Denver book extravaganza. Next week, we're going to be joined by Craig Unger, who is the author of House of Bush, House of Saud, the secret relationship between the world's two most powerful dynasties. We're also going to be joined later in the month by Pam Davis and Justin Farmer, who are the brand new stars of the brand new show on Fox 31, Good Day Colorado. And joining me now, we have our friend John Enslin, who is president of the Denver Press Club, and we also have Mark Stutz and Lance Thomas, who are two members, actually all three of them are, of the Denver Press Club's Rotisserie Baseball League, which means that sometimes these guys get fried. And Lance is here all the way from Oklahoma.
Yes, ma'am.
And why are you? Wait a minute, we got to get Lance's microphone up because we can't hear him.
Oop, is this better?
Nope, can't hear you at all. Is it one of the other pots, Joe? Let's try it now.
Okay.
Nope, we're still not getting you. We're gonna make you share a microphone.
How about this?
Okay,
there
much better. Okay, so why did you come here from Oklahoma? What was that all about? You drove all night long to get here?
I left at noon yesterday, and I got here about 10 o'clock last night. And I'm an avid rotisserie baseball nut. And
you were fried by the time you got here, probably. All right, tell me, what is rotisserie baseball? Is it fantasy baseball? Which I think I know what that is.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. There are many different...
This is Mark Stutz you're listening to.
Many different forms of fantasy baseball. But basically, the basic concept is a group of people get together, either friends or acquaintances, even people online who don't know each other, for the sole purpose of putting together a fictitious team based on real players.
Sounds like what they do in horny chat rooms.
Yeah.
all of it is fictitious.
Yes. Basically, whatever your stats are during the season from the team that you put together, it determines who's the winner at the end of the season. And you can keep, but then you can keep stats in all kinds of different categories, whatever the case may be.
You know, you could say it's like buying baseball futures.
It is? Okay. So what is the lure of all this? Because you can put together this team in your imagination, and depending on, and then what do? You bet with each other. How is there a payoff here?
We do typically put a little bit of money on the line just to make it interesting.
Yeah, how much money do you put on the line?
I don't know. You have to ask Commissioner Stutz here. But I do it because I like being a fan of more than one team. I live in Oklahoma. I don't have a Major League Baseball team, so I like being able to root for players from the Rockies and players from the Dodgers and players from, you know, all of the other teams, and so I assemble my team, and then I have a reason to watch every baseball game on.
How does it work? Because I've only heard, you know, in newsrooms around probably this town and definitely in San Francisco, there was a fantasy league at KGO-TV where, I'm telling you, the people in the newsroom spent a whole lot more time on the fantasy league than they ever did on gathering the news, but don't quote me.
Well, you know, you've seen poker games, right?
Yeah.
Just up the intensity times 10.
Yeah.
That's
all right, give us an example. For those of us who are baseball dopes, how does this work?
The traditional thing that people play in the modern era of fantasy baseball, I mean, we used to have Stratomatic as a kid, but in the modern era of fantasy baseball, it's basically you keep stats in certain categories. For like pitching, you know, you draft 9 pitchers in the traditional league, and the number of wins that your staff gets determines where you are versus all the 8 teams. Most leagues keep stats in like 8 different categories, and depending on where you finish with each of those categories determines your overall total. So if you're first in wins and saves and ERA and something they call ratio in a 10-team league, you'll have 40 points there. That puts you in good standing. So it's just all accumulated over their stats throughout the whole year. And you can trade players and drop somebody if you don't like them, pick somebody else up. It's just like managing. It's just like being a GM for a team.
For a team, except that you've created your own team.
Right.
Okay.
My wife, this is John, my wife has a different explanation, though. She says we should just all get lives.
All right, what if Joe wants to be part of, Joe Anderson, our producer, what if he wants to be part of the Rotisserie League? And why do you call it the Rotisserie League, by the way, at the press club?
There was a New York Times public editor now by the name of Daniel Okrent, who was flying on a flight in September 1979, who first dreamed up these rules, and in January he got together with a bunch of reporters, Glenn Wagner, different people in New York City. They drafted at something called the La Rotisserie Francaise, which is a now-defunct restaurant in Manhattan. And they simply named it the Rotisserie League because that's where they did the very first draft of what you would probably call the modern era. And it has grown since then. I mean, and there's many, many variations, but those were the guys who really started this whole concept and are to blame for it, I guess.
Mark, how many people do they figure play rotisserie baseball?
Yeah, they estimate that as many as 25 million play some type of fantasy sports.
Do you just all do this among yourself at the press club, or are you also online with a lot of other people, or is that a separate...
That's one way to do it. We happen to be in a league where we limit it to 12 owners or 12 teams. So, to get Joe in at some point.
Yeah, if Joe wants to get in, how does he do that?
We'd have to have an opening in the league, and then he would come in.
Well, how do you have an opening? Somebody drops out? They move away?
Somebody moves to Oklahoma. And
but he drives back.
Or somebody irritates all the other owners with really bad trades. You know, sometimes people get kicked out. I mean, we have a whole constitution and everything on...
Do you have a constitution?
On how the
you have membership? You have dues?
Yeah, well, it's $75 a year to... for us to get in. The traditional leagues that you see rotisserie usually start at $260, but I've seen some as high as $2,600.
What happens with that $75? Where does it go?
Well,
you pay the winners.
Yeah, you pay the winners.
Oh,
top
so that's
three.
The kitty. That's
yes.
What makes the kitty. Okay, I gotcha. And you love doing this because your imagination.
I have a little bit different take on it. I think, when I was a kid, you had Stan Musial or Mickey Mantle. They played all their careers for one team. Now we can have somebody that comes up for the Rockies, and in 4 or 5 years he becomes a free agent and goes signs with the Yankees or something like that. With rotisserie baseball, it doesn't really matter where your guy is playing, because if you draft him on your team, he could be in New York, Cincinnati, St. Louis, L.A., he's on your team, so it doesn't really matter where he's playing. And I think that's kind of the allure for a lot of people.
You know what the next step is? You don't actually have to have a real player. I mean, you're concocting the team. You might as well concoct the
players.
Well,
there are fantasy leagues that are strictly generated by random computer programs, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's out there.
Off.
Yeah.
Do women participate in this very much or at all?
About 94% of all players in the nation are men, but there are about 6% women. tend to be a little bit older, guys in their, you know, late 20s, 30s and on up, and then women kind of fall through the whole spectrum.
In the Press Club League, I think we've had two or three over the 7 years that we've been doing it.
We kind of had to talk them into it, but we have.
I'm actually in another league that's online with some folks in California, and there are three women out of 15, which I think is a pretty good ratio.
Do you actually meet? How often do you meet, John Enslin? Tell me.
Well, we meet first at the beginning of the year when we do our draft, which will be tomorrow. And then, Mark, why don't you tell us about the mid-season?
Yeah, well, you always have to have a mid-season trade meeting around the All-Star game, and it usually has to take place in Vegas, so a bunch of us together fly or drive out to Vegas for 3 or 4 days. And
I don't even want to know what happens there. My dad always used to say he was going to Vegas to visit his bunny. And as it turned out, he wasn't kidding.
Our meetings in Vegas are pretty dull. We do
bunny-free.
Little gambling, maybe go see some of the sights, and that's about it.
This is the popular consumption version. Our trips to Vegas are a little, you know.
Well, all the trades are free, so there is some incentive for you to go to Vegas, so you can trade players among yourselves for nothing.
So all of you go, how many of you go? A dozen of you go at once?
Yeah, and there'll be these conversations in the bathroom like, well, I'll give you so-and-so for so-and-so. Yeah.
Or at the blackjack table.
This is like a high-level trading cards, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yep, I think we're all old guys who
why do you love it? Because you can exercise your imagination and you can create the ideal team?
I love it because it gives me an excuse to, as somebody who doesn't live in state anymore, to call John Enslin and call Mark Stutz, you know, and talk to them regularly. So for me, there's certainly the entertainment value of it.
Keeps the connection.
But it keeps my connection with my friends.
And is there a downside to rotisserie baseball other than it can gobble up the time you're supposed to be with your beloved, or you're supposed to be giving to your boss?
You don't do it at work. That's kind of a lot of places you can't even get into your site at work. But yeah, you need to talk to my wife about the downsides. I think you know, a lot of late night time on the computer checking out the West Coast box scores is frustrating.
And we did have a memo once from a female editor at the Rocky who said, "Will the rotisserie players, Steve, stop? Please stop using the printer."
Yes.
Do you guys make any time to go to the games, or are you really too busy doing fantasy baseball or rotisserie baseball, or too busy doing your jobs to go to, you know, one of the things I observed when I first moved to Denver is I was coming to work, and the station, when we're not at the press club, our actual location is above the old spaghetti factory on 18th and Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So here I am coming into work, and I'm seeing all these people walking. Where are they walking? They're walking to Coors Field to a game. And I thought, this is so fantastic that you can take off, ditch work for a day or the afternoon, and go walk to a ball game, and that is smack in the middle of Lodo or very, you know, is a terrific idea. It's just so user-friendly. It's so wonderful for downtown. So are you able to get away and actually watch games, or are you just too busy to do it?
We definitely go to the games, and some of us have even been known to go to Florida or to Arizona to catch spring training games and do some. It's a lame excuse to go do some scouting for your players, but I've been down to Kissimmee in Florida, the scout teams, so it's...
And it works.
It works, yeah.
If I were to ask you, and if you're just joining us, my three guests, John Enslin, who's president of the Denver Press Club, Mark Stutz, Lance Thomas, they're all members of the Denver Press Club's Rotisserie Baseball League, otherwise known as Fantasy Baseball. If I were to ask you about baseball and its effect on your life, what would you say to me? Because in lots of ways, baseball is a wonderful metaphor. I mean, I was talking to one of our first guests, Herb Sanders, and talking about how it teaches you patience and how it teaches you to show up every day and do the job and not cut corners and so on. But in your own lives, as connoisseurs of baseball, as people who love to go to the games and love baseball so much that you have your participants in the Rotisserie League, what would you tell me about the role of baseball in your life or what lessons you might have learned from baseball?
Well, the thing that going to baseball games, which I very much enjoy, teaches me is that there's baseball when it's being played is very slow, and it's a chance to relax. I mean, I spend my days driving to work, and I'm thinking about work, and I come home, and I'm thinking about, you know, I enjoy my family time with my family, but when you're at a baseball game, it's kind of like time slows down, and you can just sit back and enjoy and have a beer and a hot dog and. You know, if you're there with your friends, I mean, I've been at baseball games with both Mark and John before, and we can sit and we don't have to talk about anything, but it's just, it teaches me to enjoy life right now And I love that.
It's the only major game
it's
without
like
a clock.
It's like the Zen of baseball.
Yeah, it's the only major. It's the only sport without a clock in it. I mean, everybody else has a timed game, but baseball is. It just is what it is.
As George Carlin could say, it goes on forever.
But sometimes that's good. Well, it certainly does in Colorado.
Yeah.
And, John, why do you like baseball? Well, like you have to talk right into that microphone because we can hardly hear you for
you
some
remember
reason.
Remember that great speech that James Earl Jones gave in Field of Dreams where he's standing up there and he gives this monologue and he talks about throughout American history there's only been one constant, and that's baseball. Baseball played the same way as it was 1901 today, 2004. It rolls through war, it rolls through depression, and it gives you a sense of just connection with the past. I mean, I really feel like when you see a game at Coors Field, it's as related as the game that Damon Runyon saw, you know, at Ebbets Field in New York in the 20s.
What about the maybe we need baseball more in a time when there are so many competing entertainments for our attention, whether it's computers, video games, particularly for kids. Maybe kids are so used, have no attention span anymore, suffering from the disease du jour, ADD, which means perhaps not that they have so little a deficit of attention, but perhaps we have a deficit in the attention we pay to our children. How do we interest children in the slowness of baseball when nobody seems to have the attention span greater than a bumblebee?
It's not easy. I've been taking I take my kids to games, and I think it's something that you have to take them to repeatedly and get them comfortable with being there. I mean, there's always I want cotton candy, I want the Coke, I want a hot dog or whatever. But
they get so bored that they can't sit there.
Yeah, well, or they just don't quite understand it. But you know, my dad started taking me to games from the time I was 5 years old, and we went to a lot of games in St. Louis. And I think you just over time, if you're consistent about it and do pay the attention as you suggest. To them and to the game, it's a good place to connect, and sooner or later it gets into their blood. It does happen.
And Enid, a lot of people have written about the father-son bond that you get out of baseball. I mean, my dad was a prospect for the New York Giants, and
he was.
He didn't end up playing. He went to the Korean War instead, and got shrapnel in his arm. But he took me to many, many games at Roosevelt Stadium, which is this rundown place in Jersey City, New Jersey, and those were great times. I mean, those are valuable memories to me.
Thank you all three for joining us. John Ensland, Mark Stutz, and Lance Thomas, especially driving
thank
in
you.
All the way from Oklahoma. Okay. Thank you for telling us all about the Rotisserie Baseball League at the Denver Press Club, Fantasy Baseball. I've enjoyed it. Now I know a little bit more about it. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to Fantasy Talk Radio, I guess, our own very own Rotisserie League, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. Inflation has stayed low for the past couple of years, partly because companies have basically eaten any hike in their own costs. But now analysts say you can expect food manufacturers, at least, to start passing on those higher costs to consumers. Public companies like Kellogg, Kraft, General Mills, and ConAgra have already baked higher costs for their ingredients into their profit forecasts for this year. But if the spikes in things like soybean oil, cocoa, sugar, and butter continue, and they're expected to, analysts warn packaged food makers may be forced to raise their prices, drop their earnings targets, or both. One food analyst estimates commodity costs for food companies are up more than 25% from last year. The last major price increases were about a year ago, when grain costs rose enough to force cereal and cookie prices up. So who's using all that cocoa and butter? Like everything else, it seems, a lot of the increasing demand comes from China. I'm Jennifer Slaw for CNBC Business Radio.
In a perfect world, real eggs would be made of chocolate, and Easter Sunday would be followed by another day off, Easter Monday. But the world isn't perfect, so there's Walgreens, with everything you need to make Easter perfect, like baskets, chocolate bunnies, egg decorating kits, jelly beans, plush toys, and everything else you need to fill your Easter baskets. That's life. This is Walgreens.
Hop to Walgreens for last-minute Easter candy and basket stuffers.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that Napa Auto Parts has all the performance and appearance products you need for your sport compact car? Just check out the new Extreme Streets department at your nearest Napa Auto Parts store. You'll find all the top names like NOS, K&N, Flowmaster, and a huge selection of performance and style accessories from APC. This is the good stuff. So stop by Napa Auto Parts and check out our new Extreme Street section today.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Where's Justin?
Something funny is going on.
Find out each day as Justin roams Denver in the Front Range. Look for him in the AM 1150 KNRC van and listen for his reports each day exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:27 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I want to remind you, if you are near your computer Monday or Sunday night, I'm going to be on AirAmericaRadio.com between 7 and 8 o'clock. I'll be a guest of Laura Flanders, and she was a guest of mine. She's written a new book called Bushwoman, and her producer's call today, which was very nice, and I'm honored to do it. And, you know, AirAmericaRadio.com is the radio station that features Al Franken, and we've been hearing from a lot of you about Air America. I haven't heard it yet, so I'm kind of intrigued to be part of the effort. And you might want to call in or email me, enid@knrcradio.com. You can always hear us. We stream live. Let's see, www.knrcradio.com. That, you know, for some reason I couldn't remember it, because we're at the press club and because we're all having a lot of fun. And joining us right now, because the theme is baseball, is Bob the Beer Man.
The Baron of Brew, the Sultan of Suds, Bob the Beer Man.
Bob, did you grow up saying, when I grow up, I want to be Bob the Beer Man? How
well,
did this happen?
I come out from a long family of brewers and a German family of brewers, so I got into the beer industry right away. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, wink, wink. Okay. You have got more, what do you want to call those, pins? What do we call these pins?
Buttons.
Buttons on you that say different things than loony people have those bumper stickers, you know?
So there's a parallel there, I think, between loony people and Bob the Beer Man. Some people have bumper stickers. I've got Cracker Jack's beer, peanuts. I think it's an old price. My management will kill me for saying that.
But. Are you a vendor on your own, or do you work for a company? How does this work?
We actually work for a company. Aramark has the concession rights to Coors Field, Pepsi Center, some different venues, and we work for them as vendors. So,
what makes for a successful beer man? You got to have a good rap, I think.
A good rap.
I have to tell you, when I go to state fairs, maybe it was because I grew up across the lake from Chicago, and we had Chicago TV. And in the early days, you had Ron Popeil. You know, they would do these demonstrations. It slices, it dices, it's an amazing thing. And to this day, if I go to state fairs or any kind of large shows where they have these demonstrations of the slicers, the dicers, I stand there and I'm mesmerized, and I think I'm seeing a performance as worthy as anything I usually see on the stage. So tell me, are you doing the same thing when you're selling beer?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I never sold a Vegematic or a Fish-O-Matic, but...
The Pocket Fisherman.
The Pocket Fisherman,
is that a fisherman in your pocket? Or you just have to, never mind.
I got can openers in my pockets for my beer cans, of course. And that's what it is. It's all about... What I do is I've developed a Disney-type approach to the ballpark, to being the ballpark beer vendor, to being Bob the Beer Man. It's about getting into costume, getting into role, and being part of the experience, from the little guys to the biggest guys. I mean, I've met first year of the Rockies, 4.3 million, 4.7 million, millions of people. And I've met so many different peoples with so many different stories, from little kids to grandfathers. And I'll walk down an aisle and a six-year-old kid, "Hey, Bob the Beer Man, give me a beer for my grandpa and a bag of Cracker Jacks for me." And it's about the connections. It's about the character. It's about creating an experience.
Give me your rap. I want to hear the rap. Why do you get me to buy beer, since I hate beer, but I like but I do like Cracker Jacks and anything that's sweet, but I'm not a beer person. Peanuts, for sure.
Oh, let's see. Let's get going.
Bottled water, $5.50? Are you selling
$5.50? That's $3. Come on. We're not that...
Oh, that's bottled beer.
It's drought conditions around here, but it's only $3 for the bottled water.
$3 for bottled water?
That's right. Well, you know, drought conditions, you know, you got to pay the going rate. You know.
Peanuts, $3.75. What else are you selling? Cotton candy?
Cotton candy is a whole different union. Deal. That's a whole different union there. So it's Bob the Beer Man, the Baron of Brew, the Sultan of Suds, the Babarooski with the Brewski, the Beer Man, the Bobinator, beer, peanuts, Cracker Jacks, junk food, one-stop shopping, no lines, no wait, guaranteed to put the calories on, diet beer, diet soda, right here with Bob the Beer Man. That's just one of many. So like someone like yourself, we've got Mike's Hard Lemonade. Okay, not a beer. It's an alternative beverage.
That's what they sent me, some Mike's Hard Lemonade. Is that stuff any good?
It's actually, the lemon's actually very good. I like the lemon hard lemonade. It's very good. It's almost like a mixed, kind of like a margarita, gin and tonic type of thing. On those real hot days, you know, you can only drink, you know, maybe two beers, but those things go down nice and smooth. And, you know, it's funny. There's a little bit of everything at the ballpark for anybody, you know.
What has happened to you at the ballpark that has, has there been a downside? Do you have to deal with some rowdy, unruly, nasty, mean fans that have not treated Bob the Beer Man with the respect that he deserves?
I grew up outside of Philly. I'm an ex-New Yorker, so...
You can't be... There's no way that anybody can outrude you.
No, it's... they throw it at me, I throw it back, you know. Like,
well, but what would they say? What does a rude person say? You know, we have to be family-friendly here, but...
Well, let's put it this way. I also do the Pepsi Center, the Avs games, the Nuggets games, over at Mile High Stadium, the Broncos games. So I'm just the Deion Sanders of beer vendors doing all different sports. But, for example, the...
You're just a beer slut.
Hey, careful now. Sorry. I've got kids somewhere at home. my wife's going to kill me for that one.
These routines are so old. They creak, but that's why
they work.
Them.
They work, though.
You're like Henny Youngman, a reincarnation.
I never tipped one with Henny, though. But for example...
Have you met celebrities?
Oh, yeah.
Who? Like, tell me.
Oh, the All-Star Game was out here. The baseball All-Star Game was out here in 1998, if I can remember the right year. And I'm working behind home plate, and I'm going down this one aisle, and Kevin Costner's sitting down there with his agent and his bodyguard. He's about four rows or five rows from the field at home plate. And I'm selling beer down there. And All-Star Game, it's, you know, out-of-town tourists, rich people just buying beer left and right. And I'm just beer, peanuts, Cracker Jacks going all different ways, money funneling down. Then the inning ends. It's a half inning. And all these ladies start coming down to, you know, get Kevin Costner's autograph. And I get pinned down there. I couldn't move because a line of ladies trying to get Kevin Costner's autograph just pinned me down there. So I play kind of dumb.
You were just a sex slave after that.
Yeah, no. I kind of played kind of dumb to Costner. I pretend like I didn't know who he was and go, "Hey, are you somebody famous or something? You're killing my beer business here. Get these ladies out of here." And he looks up at me. He knows, "I've been accused of ruining many things, from like Waterworld, by many different things, by many different producers, but I've never been accused by a beer vendor of ruining his business at the ballpark till now."
Bob the Beer Man, when you're not a beer vendor, do you have another life?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm actually an educator. I teach at the CU Boulder. I used to work on Wall Street for a bunch of years, kind of got tired of the rat race, moved out here, reinvented the wheel, became Bob the Beer Man. So,
what do you teach at CU Boulder?
I teach finance. That's what I used to do on Wall Street. I teach corporate finance.
Are you a professor? Are you
Not a professor,
an instructor?
No. Yeah, I'm an instructor, yeah. It's I've got my duty is to teach. I don't do the research. I don't do the... the publishing. I just get to teach about 450 students a year. And
do they know that you, in your other life, you're Bob the Beer Man?
Well, most of them don't initially. But it kind of, you know, they start going to games during the season, and then they start looking at me, and it's like, you know, in the classroom, I've got the intellectual horn-rimmed glasses, the hair all, you know, slicked back and kind of conservative, and out at the ballpark, it's kind of a zany Disney character. So one day, I'm at the CU Business School, and a student comes up to me and goes, Professor Bob, do you have a twin brother? And I go, no, why? He goes, well, I was at a Rockies game the other night, and I saw this crazy madcap beer vendor who looked almost just like you and sounded almost just like you. He could have been your twin brother. You sure you don't have a twin brother? No, I don't have a twin brother. Of course, he never asked the salient question, was that you?
What does a beer man make? Do you make a percentage of what we sell?
It's just like being a commissioned bartender is really what it is. So we get a percentage of what we sell, and then any tips that we get
People are generous, more generous at the game?
It's not
if they're winning, if their team is winning, maybe they're more generous?
If business is good, it's not like a restaurant, though, where, you're expected to, do a 15% tip or whatever. So it gets to be hit and miss.
Do you invest?
Do I? Of course I invest. And I've lost some money, and I've made some money.
Do you have any tips for us, Bob Revere Man, who in his other life teaches corporate finance or finance?
Well, it's kind of funny. With my financial markets course, I require students to pick a stock at the beginning of the semester, track the stock, track the company, track the competitors in the industry, and do a written presentation about what drove the stock's movement over the course of the semester. So sometimes I get some interesting information there. This one I came across was called Electronic Arts. They make the software games from everything from like Game Boy and Nintendo to a lot of computers. And it sounded pretty interesting. I asked my son about it. He goes, do you know what Electronic Arts is? He goes, oh yeah, they make all the software on my Game Boy. He goes, that's a good company. They make everything. Sure enough, they make like 75% of the software. Buy into it. 75% of the software in all the game industry. So, Electronic Arts.
So that you're hoping, since you bought some, you're hoping everybody else does too.
Well, my son goes, I want to buy some, so I bought some from him too.
So, and what has happened to it? Is it
went up, it doubled, more than doubled in about an initial 6 month period. It's flattened now since then.
Oh my goodness.
So this was a couple of years back.
Well, you could hawk along with the beer, the nuts, the bottled water, the Cracker Jacks.
When business is slow, I also offer the Wall Street Journal.
Do you really?
Of course. Especially in those business person specials, those 1 o'clock midweek afternoon games, guys come sneak out of the office, so what I do is, I got to make sure you're working hard here. So I'll give them stock quotes or, let them read the journal for a couple innings and keep them going that way. They could write the whole day off, at the ballpark then.
You know what I would say about you, Beer Man Bob?
I'm afraid to ask.
You have covered all your bases.
That's true.
Thank you so much for joining us today. The Bob the Brewski, the Sultan of...
The Baron of Brew, the Sultan of Suds, the Bobinator, the Brewski Man, Bob the Beer Man.
Thank you so much, Bob the Beer Man. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Rainy, 37 degrees. A Fort Collins police officer is on administrative leave following a shooting this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. Now let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center. A suspect who pointed a gun at police in Fort Collins was shot by an officer this morning. Police were responding to a call about a disturbance when the shooting happened. The suspect was taken to a hospital. No word on, or rather, he's in stable condition at this point. The officer is on paid administrative leave pending an investigation. This report brought to you by the Home Depot. Police in North Glen were chasing a stolen car this morning when the car crashed into a house, injuring a woman who was asleep inside. The driver of the car got away. North Glen police trying to track him down. The woman was taken to a hospital with broken bones. The man who started the Picnic Rock fire with an out-of-control backyard trash fire will face fourth-degree arson charges. The fire, which was fully contained more than a week after it started, consumed about 9,000 acres and burned down a house and a garage. Prevent crabgrass and feed your lawn this spring with Scott's Turf Builder with Halt's Crabgrass Preventer. It deep feeds your lawn and prevents crabgrass seeds from germinating. Available at Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, Tom, what's happening?
Hey, Walter, just finishing my notes on the film Millennium Mambo before we talk about it at Madstone Theaters Saturday evening.
Great, the fourth film in the Premier Pick series. What do you have so far?
Millennium Mambo is the closely observed story of Vicky, an extreme party girl torn between two men. One is jealous and impulsive, the other more nurturing, but a gangster.
Right, she keeps falling for the wrong kinds of guys. She finds herself stuck in a nightmarish, abusive relationship, a victim of her own bad choices. It's all presented in sort of a trance-like rhythm that reminded me a lot of the films of Wong Kar-wai and Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation.
It's a tale of self-destructive, aimless youth. In other words, this could be the United States.
An apocalyptic romance by Taiwan's most famous director, Hao Hsiao-hsien.
This is Tom DeLapa and Walter Chow inviting you to go deeper into movies with us as we talk about the film in Madstone Theater's Premier Pick series.
Millennium Mambo is showing April 9th through the 15th only. For more information, call 303-752-3200 or visit madstonetheaters.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We could see anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of snow to 3 to 6 inches in the higher elevations in our southern suburbs. We have a winter storm watch for the urban corridor in effect through Saturday morning, a winter storm warning for the high country through Saturday afternoon. It'll be wet weather for us this afternoon with a high of 43, and then the snow starts tonight, continues tomorrow. We'll drop down to 26 for the low, Saturday's high 35, sunshine for Easter Sunday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rainy and 37 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This year, pay your taxes through official payments. Use your American Express, Visa, or Discover card. You may get reward points or even money back. Susie paid her taxes through official payments and got reward points used towards a great trip.
Do you come here often?
Actually, I've never been to Hawaii before.
Nice trip, Susie. Nice going. Call 1-800-2-PAY-TAX or visit officialpayments.com. Check your card issuer for rewards and money-back terms, conditions, and eligibility. Federal convenience fee of 2.49% vary for state and local payments.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is... what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
I'm Tony DeZuri with your Masters Golf Tournament update. Justin Rose continues to lead at Augusta. He is minus one through 17, a six under par total so far. Alex Chayka, Jose Maria Olazabal are two shots back at minus four. Some players making a move up the leaderboard. Davis Love III fired a 67 today. He is minus two for the tournament. Steve Flesch also a 67 on the day. Tiger Woods, it looks like he'll make the cut. He fired a 69 this afternoon. He is safely in the clubhouse at even par. Phil Mickelson hasn't been able to get anything going today. He is even through 10 holes. And Jay Haas, who started the day minus 3, is even through 12. That's your Masters Golf Tournament Update. I'm Tony DeZuri on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, KNRCRadio.com. KNRCRadio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday.
Two 7:44 on the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we have joining us online. Do we have this person online and ready to go? This is Bill Vizes. Are you there, Vizes. Bill?
Yep.
Tell me your name.
Bill Vizes.
Vizes. All right, so then I was almost right, and you own... What a coincidence. It's called Bill's Sports Collectibles on South Broadway in Denver. And I have really, for a long time, been wanting to talk about somebody who handles sports collectibles and memorabilia. So apparently you have what? A lot of autographed sports memorabilia. Tell us what you have.
Oh, all kinds of stuff. We have, like, the autographed stuff. We started out basically as a card store, like, 23 years ago. But we have old programs, tenets, videos, books, a lot of old prints, photos, just anything, ticket stubs, schedules, just you name it, we got it.
Ticket stubs? Is there really a market in ticket stubs?
Oh, yeah, people collect. I've got a box that when I go to a ball game, I just put them in a box and, you know, once every 5-10 years go through it and try to remember the games or whatever. So, yeah, so people, yeah, people from World Series, All-Star games, you know, things like
what's,
that.
What's your most expensive collectible?
Ah, geez. Yeah, we usually have, you know, like right now we probably have some baseball, you know, some autographed baseballs, like some world championship balls, like the 1966 Baltimore Orioles, a ball with 500 home run club members from before Mark McGuire that has, like, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams.
What does that
like
go?
That.
What would a ball like that go for?
Depending on condition, like $800 to $1,000.
All right, now if we want, you know, if ticket stubs go, I'm thinking when ball players spit, somebody should be catching it. Some DNA, never mind. my guest is Bill Vizes. He is the owner of Bill's Sports Collectibles on South Broadway in Denver, and he has a whole array of autographed sportsman memorabilia. What is the most unusual memorabilia either you've encountered, you've seen someplace else, or that you actually sell?
See, a friend of mine here in Denver, actually, I think he still owns it. He used to have a Spittoon that was Ty Cobbs, who was like, you know, it's a great baseball player for the Detroit Tigers back in the early 1900s. And so what Ty used to spit in. So you're talking about the spitting. He had a Spittoon, so...
Well, my producer, Joe Anderson, tells me that Luis Gonzalez's gum sold on eBay. Had he chewed that gum, or was he going to chew that gum?
That was supposedly like gummy you had chewed and tossed, you know, I guess.
How much did it go for on eBay, do you think?
It went for something ridiculous. You know, I think it like was a charitable type thing, but I think it went for a few thousand dollars, believe it or not.
$2,000? What do? You must mount it and frame it.
I guess so, you know. I don't usually collect yourself game chewed gum, so
well,
that one's a little beyond us.
Your place, Bill, has been called a baby boomer's paradise. Why? What have you got in there that leads us to heaven?
Well, it's like, you know, especially like my customer that's like in their 40s and 50s. It's the you know, it takes them back to their childhood. I mean, we've had the same pennants and posters a lot of times that they hung on their walls, the same cards that they remember going to the corner drugstore and opening packs to try to find the Mickey Mantle or depending on what city they were in their favorite player. Like, I grew up in Washington, D.C., so I was looking for very obscure players that nobody cared about, like Milo Pasquale or Don Locke or somebody like that not too many people remember. But if you're a Senators fan, you can come into my place and find something like that.
And what, besides baseball memorabilia, what other sports? Is it only baseball that you
can
find yourself
in? Oh, no. We've got a huge selection of football, basketball, and hockey. I mean, the Broncos are, you know, king in Denver. I mean, you know, baseball goes back to the...
Do you have anybody's jock straps? I mean, does stuff like that go in a collectible store? I mean, if chewed gum and spittoons and maybe even spit along with it at no extra charge, what about jock straps?
Well, I've seen those up for sale, believe it or not, too. That's a little beyond me, too, but things like jerseys and, usually more acceptable, or, you know, even game-worn pants and stirrups and guys, you know, cleats and things like that.
Cleats?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Bill, my producer, Joe Anderson, is a big Dodgers fan. Do you have any Dodgers memorabilia?
Oh, yeah, a lot of Dodgers stuff, but, you know, like some great pictures of the Brooklyn Dodgers from the 50s, you know, when they're in their heyday. Old shots at Ebbets Field and we've got, nostalgic pennants, and there's several, posters and things like that of the, old Brooklyn Dodgers, particularly, plus a lot of Los Angeles Dodgers stuff, programs from the World Series and stuff like that.
Anything from Joe DiMaggio?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought he was interesting.
Yeah, we've got, a lot of signed stuff by Joe D, a lot of photos and books on him and the Yankees, even DVDs and videos about the Yankees and Joe DiMaggio. But,
he lived in San Francisco. He lived in the Bay Area, and the knock on him, and I read a wonderful biography of him by the same guy, I think Richard Ben Kramer was his name,
right.
Who has won a Pulitzer and also wrote this terrific book about the way the road to the White House, or the way the White House, what it takes to really run for president, which is still, I think, the best book on that subject. And by the time I was finished with the Richard Ben Kramer book on Joe DiMaggio, who used to be seen all over the Bay Area, by that time he was older, he was thought to be kind of curmudgeonly. The knock on Joe was that he'd go to these signings, sign baseballs like a machine, and to make a lot of money, and at the end that's all he cared about. So one of these balls that he may have signed, he could pick up, a couple $100,000 in an afternoon signing?
Oh, yep. Oh, definitely.
So one of those balls is worth what individually at this point?
They sell for $400 or $500, believe it or not.
They do?
Yeah.
So if you want to give somebody who's really a baseball fan, some corporate guy, maybe somebody should walk into your shop and have something framed, a pennant or something. I imagine there's stuff that's quite affordable.
Oh, yeah. We've got things like, if you're a Brooklyn Dodger fan, we've got things that are $5, $20, $50. But we could, we've got stuff that are $500 and $1,000 too. So,
So there's a whole range.
Hit all kinds of price ranges.
Any odd stories? Did you grow up to think that you were going to be in the sports memorabilia business?
Nah,
How did this happen? Is it that you just loved all this stuff and you were collecting it through the years?
Yeah, I collected it, and then in high school you kind of get a little bit away from it, and then I was actually going up, just like your last guest teaches in Boulder. I went to school in Boulder, and I was just sitting for somebody waiting outside a bank reading the sporting news when I was a junior in college back in the mid-70s, and there's an ad about baseball cards in the back of the sporting news, and so I said, I'll send off about this, and then, started subscribing to a magazine, and then just started accumulating and collecting memorabilia, and met some people out here in Colorado, and then just after I got out of college, worked a real job for a few years, and then just, decided to, take a flyer on this in 1981, and still doing it today. So,
well, congratulations. So you've been able to live your passion.
Yeah, so it's been fun.
Has there been any underside to the sports memorabilia business? How do you know the stuff isn't forged? How do you know it's not a fake? How do you know that when you somebody sells you something? I mean, we have heard stories about forgeries, fakeries, stuff that sells for a lot of money and it's just junk.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, not as much as there was a few years ago, but now most of the current players, whether you were John Elway or Barry Bonds, usually contract through a company, and so it's documented that way. We just buy from the reputable companies that actually represent the player. But with stuff from the 30s or 40s or 50s, a lot of times if it's an older gentleman and he's got other memorabilia and he's a great story, you usually believe it. But with anything, whether the guy has 100% sure story anymore, we send things off to a couple of people that authenticate things for us. So, somebody walked in with a Babe Ruth baseball, we can be 99% sure, but these guys can put it under a microscope and look at the ink and, if there's any breaks in the signature, and they have, hundreds of examples of Babe Ruth's signature. Because today people can even get old ink from 1920, old paper or an old photo or baseball from 1920 and replicate the signature pretty well. So
it's
a little scary sometimes.
What would that alleged Babe Ruth baseball sell for if anyone thought it was real?
Real Babe Ruth baseball, depending on condition, goes from about $2,500 to about $25,000. Most of them go for in a $3,000 to $8,000 range. So.
Wow. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. Bill Vizas, who is the owner of Bill's Sports Collectibles on South Broadway in Denver. May your life be filled with more and more good and wonderful collectibles. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, coming to you live from the Denver Press Club on AM 1150 KNRC.
Call the host you don't agree with. Keep both sides alive and well on AM 1150 KNRC.
At KeyBank, the key difference promise is to always put the customer first. They think you'll second that. Call, visit, or email them today and discover the key difference for yourself. Key, achieve anything.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? There's non-drowsy allergy medicine you can take right when you need it. It's quick-dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. Allivert is prescription-strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. Quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Did you know that more than 40% of U.S. troops deployed overseas as first responders are from the National Guard? They have left their families and jobs to defend our country. But what happens when they return? Cuts in federal funding have eliminated programs to help returning soldiers to continue their education. But you can help. The Colorado National Guard has established a fund to help these soldiers when they return home. Mail your tax-exempt donation to the National Guard Education Foundation, P.O. Box 40889, Aurora, Colorado, 80044. For more information, call 303-667-8387.
Leadership. Bring it into your life now. From the people who define leadership in America today, KNRC and the Tom Peters Company present the Leadership Challenge Workshop, Tuesday, May 18th, from 8 to 4 p.m. at the Denver Marriott Southeast. It's inspirational. It's interactive. It's proactive. Go online to denverleaders.com now to learn more and register. Special prizes and group rates are available. Log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. That's 527-0607. The Leadership Challenge Workshop, a special one-day seminar sponsored by the Denver Business Journal, First National Bank of Colorado, EKSNH Accounting Firm, and presented by the Tom Peters Company and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mandy. I'm a social worker. All I can say is, don't try your mind games with me, Kellett, because the first time you do, that's it.
You've lost a listener, loser.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
I think we missed a cue here. 2:57 on the fabulous Friday edition of Eat It Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're in the waning moments. And John Ensland just told me, I think my mic was hot, so you probably heard this, that Elmore Leonard is coming to the press club. We want him. We want to get him. Can we get him? Wait. We got to put his mic up. He's not. Right, there you go. Are you on? Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Would that be scored as an error, Joe? I'm not sure. Elmore Leonard's coming. We just booked him yesterday. He's coming, I think it's July 17th.
We may be in Boston at the Democratic Convention. I don't know.
Are you going to do live from the Democratic Convention?
Yeah, and I'm going to be back in Europe again in Italy because my cousin's daughter's getting married in Tuscany. So
what
a good excuse for it.
Is that why you're studying Italian? Or?
Yeah. Well, I'm going again. Well, I studied it once before, and it's so grisly. It's such a bad mark on my soul. Here that I can speak a lot of other languages all badly at this point.
You should do one show entirely in Italian.
I do every day. People are beginning to complain. She's incomprehensible
as
usual.
Bella.
Yeah, Bella. Ciao, Bella. Bella. So, Elmore Leonard coming?
Yeah, Elmore Leonard, but in the meantime, though, a couple other people. Edna Buchanan, great writer.
We want her. She's a great crime writer.
Oh,
she used to be at the Miami Herald.
She'll be here June 15th. And then the following, David Brooks from the New York Times.
Oh, we want him too.
The 23rd
and he's
June.
A conservative, but I liked his book, Bobos in Paradise.
He's a good writer.
He's a wonderful writer. John Ensland, thank you so much. You did a great job putting
the show together.
Joe Anderson, you did a fabulous job. Darren Gavin kept us on the air, and so did Sean McKenzie. And to all of you who listened, thank you so much. Doug Kellett up next. He's live from Bennett's Barbecue around the Denver Tech Center. Remember, if you're new, your computer, I'll be on airamerica.com. live, 7 to 8 o'clock Sunday night as a guest on Laura Flanders' show. It's AirAmericaRadio.com, and you can listen, and I haven't even actually heard what they're doing. That's the liberal station, the network that's got Al Franken. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up any kind of a mess, however small, and your life will be transformed. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'll see you Monday at noon right here on...
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan at the White House. It didn't last, but there was a lull in the fighting in the Iraqi city of Fallujah, long enough for residents to bury their dead in a soccer stadium. Now the battle has resumed. Coalition spokesman Dan Senor says the rebellion in the city will end.
This is not something that we can just turn our heads and look the other way.
American AC-130 gunships have been pounding suspected rebel positions in Fallujah. Several people, including it's reported at least two Americans, have been kidnapped in Iraq. Those who took three Japanese hostages say time is running out, and unless Japan pulls its troops out of Iraq, the prisoners will be burned alive. A financial break for a U.S. soldier who phoned home from Iraq, a lot. Army Reserve Sergeant Brian Fletcher racked up thousands of dollars in calls and had his cell phone service suspended. However, his provider has decided to foot the bill for him, citing what it calls special circumstances. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that Napa Auto Parts has all the performance and appearance products you need for your sport compact car? Just check out the new Extreme Streets department at your nearest Napa Auto Parts store. You'll find all the top names like NOS, K&N, Flowmaster, and a huge selection of performance and style accessories from APC. This is the good stuff. So stop by Napa Auto Parts and check out our new Extreme Streets section today.